Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bill Polian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Large black coffee.
Do you mean a venti?
No, I mean a large.
Venti is large.
No, venti is 20. Large is large. In fact, tall is large, and grande is Spanish for large. Venti's the only one that doesn't mean large. It's also the only one that's Italian. Congratulations, you're stupid in three languages.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
And why do you bow for that guy?
Because he's the king, and he rules the entire realm.
Oh, my bad. Is that what he is or isn't whacking it to The Sims?
Paul Perillo.
You know what I used to eat for breakfast? Cocaine. You know what I used to eat for lunch? Cocaine.
What'd you have for dinner? Was it cocaine?
And Andy. And Andy?
The sun is shining, but you have lost the ability to take any joy in life.
Andy Hart.
You're just a miserable dick now. You're mean to everybody.
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
I call myself the Booby Watch. Even got my own comic book. Adventures of the Booby Watch.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
It's this fantasy world where anything is possible.
Sounds gay.
If by gay you mean the old English definition of fun, enjoyable, and carefree, then yes, it's extremely gay.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Tuesday here at Gillette Stadium. We're getting ready. It's a short week going to the Detroit Lions for Thanksgiving Day. Team, the Patriots don't play that often, so a lot of homework cramming going on here at Gillette Stadium, as it is in Detroit. But Patriots have the added burden of traveling to Detroit, so it's going to be tough. We're going to be getting on the buses tomorrow, early afternoon here at Gillette, and then heading over to Detroit. So this will be the only PFW in Progress show this week. However, we do have a special treat for you. Pete Shepard will be doing his usual Tuesday at 4 o'clock show today, but tomorrow he'll be filling in for us at noon. So don't worry, you will have live Patriots.com radio programming tomorrow at noon. It'll just be Pete Shepard. But hey, that's pretty good. That's a good trade-off. So welcome to the show. We'll be here until 2 o'clock. Got a lot to talk about today. Obviously, first on the menu, huge, huge win. Another thriller, Peyton Manning versus Tom Brady. Another showdown. Patriots win it by three. Came right down to the wire, and of course, the big interception for James Sanders sealed it at the end. That's the difference between this defense this year and last year. Yeah, they're still giving up the yards, but they're making big plays in key spots, and that's the one thing that they couldn't do last year. So we'll talk a lot about that. Talk about the offense as well, and then we'll go around the NFL. There's a lot of stuff going on. Trouble in Tennessee, it seems. Wherever Randy Moss is, there's trouble, although this time it's not his fault. It's the quarterback's fault. Richard Seymour punching out, or slapping out, I should say. It really wasn't a punch, an open-hand punch-push to Roethlisberger. Dumb move, but I think everybody likes seeing it. So that was, we'll talk about that and everything else that's on the plate for this week. And of course, we'll talk about the Detroit Lions. They've got some playmakers on this team. You know, of course, Calvin Johnson is, if not the best, one of the best receivers in the NFL today. Sue is, you know, working his way into being one of the best defensive tackles, already in his rookie season. So that's pretty good. But, you know, they don't have a lot of depth, and I think that Stafford will not play. That's what I'm hearing right now. So, there's not a lot of depth there beyond there. They have some playmakers, although Best, who is their best running back, has a toe injury. Looks like he may not play. So, the thing is, if the Patriots take care of business, they should come away with a win. Yeah, it could be a trap game, but after what happened to Cleveland, I doubt that the Patriots are going to let that happen twice in one season. So, we'll get ready for that. And we're waiting for the guys. If you're wondering why the hell I'm just talking to myself here, open locker room just ended, so Paul and Andy should be here any moment. But Andy and Paul are here. You guys just came from the locker room. What's going on in there?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Actually, a fair amount of players talked today, which was nice. A lot of obviously short week talk, Thanksgiving, strange schedule, which isn't great for our purposes, but. Tom Brady
You'll
talked
read about it in PFW. Curse right. me.
Tom Brady talked. Wes Welker spoke today. Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, Danny Woodhead, Kyle Arrington had a nice long one-on-one with Eric Scalavino.
Did he really? Eric's here. he'll be by later. I almost said he'll be down later. I almost screwed up my own joke.
Who else? Who else spoke today?
I thought the most interesting thing was. In a short week where there's no time,
seems
Tom Brady
time.
Finished a long press conference and then did one-on-ones with Brian Lowe, Shalice Manza-Young, Karen Garrigue, Tom Carney. He was just going down the locker room. He was like Paul Perillo. Everybody he passed, he had to stop and chat for 5 minutes.
I am a pretty popular guy in the locker room. You're right.
But Brady doesn't usually do that. He just gives that smile as he walks by you.
I got a lot of one-on-ones about having a suit on
just like a quick. No, you know, each one lasting 2 minutes, 3
really?
Minutes.
Really?
And I'm thinking, doesn't this guy have some film he needs to watch? That's kind of odd.
It was odd.
You know what that means, Fred? He's not worried about the Lions.
Well,
should he be?
He's not playing.
Yeah. Imagine that.
We were joking about that in the press box before the game. It's just like you walked in. You know, he's hurt every week, so no one even cares. No one ever wonders.
Inactive sheet.
Inactive
12,
comes
Brady.
Out. 12, Tom Brady.
Right.
What do we do now?
I need a piece of tape. Do we have gaffer's tape? Do we have gaffer's tape? Why? What do you need tape for? Apparently, I need to put this amount of pressure on my headphones to hear out of them. So if I could put a piece of tape here, it would really free up my right hand.
Sorry, I can't help you there right now. But we'll work on that. I know Kevin said, when the sound thing clears up, guys, email me. So I know, because I won't find out from inside the booth. I'll have to find out from our listeners.
We never find out the problem or the solution from inside the booth.
Monkey number two is
Chris
down
Ferrer there. Is here now. So I don't know what's going on.
Did we just... Did we talk to or about Barry?
We did.
Yeah, well, he was in for 10 minutes.
Yeah. So we got all
I mean,
the
Chris. Sorry,
we got all
Chris maintain
Chris Gokhan's info in. So were you at any of the press conferences? You know, impart some news.
No, the press conference starts
our listeners.
Now.
No, not Belichick. You said that Welker talked. You said that.
A lot of talk about the
again.
Quick week
he doesn't
and,
like to
right.
listen, but I kind of I had a little quick summation of what everybody was talking about.
Yeah.
You don't listen to me.
It's what you'd expect. Quick week and all that crap.
Yeah.
You know, got to make sure you're on your game and get everything.
I'm tired of hearing about the quick week.
Don't read my pulse to me.
Really?
That's what I'm going to write about. It's the challenge this week. It's not the challenge of the Lions.
The story's
it's the challenge of the
come
week.
Out till after the game.
That's why there'll be EDs. One of the challenges the Patriots faced heading to take on the Lions. Sometimes you got to take chicken you know what and turn it into chicken salad.
Now, I know Belichick said, you know, the Lions are a little bit more used to it because they do it every year.
Oh, yeah. It's a huge advantage, I think.
You
for
think
the Lions.
So?
Absolutely. First of all, they're home.
Home,
so
I
they
think.
Have a whole
well, new, not the home
they have
thing.
A whole additional day of preparation that the Patriots don't.
Yeah.
So that's an enormous. But
that's,
the fact that they
the
do it,
one.
The fact that they do it every year, I think also helps.
Well, some of them.
Right.
Like at Schwartzy's second.
Right.
You know,
so they
some turnover there in that roster and in that coaching staff from year to year. So
then why don't they win more?
Because they're not a very good
stink.
Team.
Right.
Because in the end, it's talent that matters.
You know, it's an intangible edge that goes to the Lions, but it's not worth like 3 touchdowns. You know, it's not going to make up for the fact that they're 2-8. 2-8 in their last 10 Thanksgiving games, by the way. As well.
And
2-8 in their last 10 games overall.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, I have a Darth Vader voice as a result of this. So I like that. Let's keep that.
No. I am your phone.
Let's talk about this. Paula's just not happy.
We got to get moving. We don't really have enough time for hijinks.
Chris, am I unhappy?
I don't know. We'll find out. I
haven't gone from zero to hot yet. Right?
We have a Colts game
that's
to talk about.
I have no reason to believe you're unhappy.
We have picks to make. We have a Lions game to talk about. Can we?
All right.
You want to talk football? You want to screw around?
Let's get right into the Colts game because we really need. I know the team doesn't have a lot of time to. You know, relish that win, but we certainly do. That was a great win.
James Sanders.
It wasn't picture perfect,
ooh.
But, you know, when you beat the Colts, anytime you beat the Colts, it's a great win. 9-2. Who'd have thunk it? What do you take coming out of this game? Is
I don't know. I'll let you know next week when they can actually be 9-2.
I think they're 8-2.
If they win on Thursday, I'll let you know how it feels.
I think we learned something about this team.
You don't know the record.
On the bad side from the Browns and something really good on the good side from the Steelers. What did we learn anything more about this team that we didn't already know?
They're growing.
Out of the Colts game?
Well, I think they're growing. You know, that knack for the big play, you can be negative like Paul will be and fixate on the 400 yards and all the points they're giving up and the worst defense in the history of the Patriots based on the numbers. Or you can choose to be like me and fixate on the positives. Jimmy Sanders, 2 weeks in a row, game-changing type plays. Finding a knack to get the turnover. They didn't get that last year. They never got the big play, the turnover on defense. They're getting it. I'm positive. Paul's negative. Go.
You're an idiot.
That's all you got.
That's my negativity.
That is very
negative. That's my negativity for the day.
But in all seriousness, I think those things snowball. It happens every year where some team starts to show a knack for making the big play. And you can live off that for months at a time. You can't live off
it. They've done it.
You can't build off into the next season or year after year. You don't build a foundation for a dynasty off that. But you can live off the knack for making big plays at big times for months at end.
And I believe that they've done very well at doing that. I think they've basically spent 2.5 months making a lot of big plays on defense, not necessarily playing great defense, but forcing a lot of turnovers. And that's the reason why you're 8-2 right now, contrary to Fred's seeing into the future.
Okay, now I've been positive. I'm going to be a little negative. Against the Colts, I think sometimes Bill Belichick makes some terrible coaching decisions. He once started Eric Alexander in an AFC title game. This week he decided the second half it was a good idea that Kyle Arrington would be one of our outside linebacker,
three-point stance, rush ends. I just don't get it. I mean, we joked coming down that, you know, he remembered that drill in training camp where Arrington showed he was pretty good at pass rushing against running backs. Well, now he's going up against real tackles.
No, I mean, use it once or twice.
Right.
But to use it as often as they did when...
And it never worked.
It was just like you were giving up a player on every play. And I didn't understand it. I wasn't happy with it. I said it during the game.
No, you were doing a slow burn.
Yeah, I just... After you saw that this guy was just getting swallowed up, abort.
I can't remember one play where you said, oh, he got it there. His speed killed him there. He didn't get the edge. He didn't play with him. He didn't toy with him and take advantage of the tackle.
God knows they could use a guy in the defensive backfield because,
So we hate Darius Butler so much that he's inactive. He's not good enough to be even active, never mind play. But now we're going to draw up a scheme that involves moving a corner to outside linebacker and makes us bring Darius Butler on the field and put him on the field against Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like sound reasoning to me.
Yeah. All right, let's take a quick break, Kevin, while you guys sort out this audio problem because I'm getting a lot of emails, and hopefully we can get this done, and we'll be right back. We need you guys to fill out your order, Omega.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Oh, okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's got to be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, stuff you use every day.
Also, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking like newspapers, when you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian. You can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only, equipment charges, taxes, and fees and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fire services available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go Pats.
With Patriots Checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots Checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Like what you've heard so far? You'll love it even more when you read it in Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or log on to pfwonline.com.
All right, back here, PFW Progress. The audio problem has been fixed. Thanks for the quick work, guys. They're blaming it on EEI and Patriots Monday. That works for me. We're talking about the Colts game here, and we left off complaining about the Kyle Arrington experiment. Hopefully that's the end of that, because I don't think it worked very well. But other than that, you know, look, Peyton Manning, we knew he was going to come in. He's going to get his yards. But the encouraging thing that I took out of this from a defensive side, and, you know, we talked about this on our TV show this morning, was the fact that coming out of both camps, there was talk about the Patriots mixing up the coverage and, at times, confusing Manning. And, you know, it takes a certain amount of, you know, mental ability to do that. You know, guys working on the same page. So that's encouraging. You know, if the interceptions that Manning threw were in part because of some disguised coverages, that's a good thing, you know, because if you can mix him up, you can mix up any other quarterback in the NFL.
Oh, certainly.
Yeah, you got to put your
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
He is certainly one of the
heaviest quarterbacks.
Turn your
mic on, Andy.
Do we want to talk about outtakes from this morning?
No, I had a tough time this morning. I was really
You didn't see his performance. I sucked, and whatever, he was sucked times 10.
No, at one point, Paul, I just had a look at the camera. I'm sorry for this.
He did. He apologized, but like in that tone, like a crushed little boy.
I just kept having to take, you know.
Because you write it out. Don't write it out. That's your problem. You try to stick to a script. We're unscripted. That's our beauty.
Anyway.
Yeah, I think that's great, the headiness. But I also think, for example, and you're going to make fun of me, but James Sanders' play, it wasn't as much a disguise as he saw something. He got the jam. He was double teaming the tight end. They got a good jam from Gary Guyton. He was able to drift. So, you know, Manning didn't expect him there because James Sanders really wasn't supposed to be there. Ty Law, like Asante Samuel. Sometimes these guys just drift off. James Sanders did that and made a big play.
And I also think Cunningham, his pressure was huge on that play.
Yeah.
And he didn't kill him.
He didn't come off the edge flying,
but he prevented Manning from stepping into the throw. Now, I'm going to give Manning a little credit here, too. He had 15 different things today. I mean, let's face it. It was Peyton Manning and his merry band of shoemakers that were playing on Sunday. It was Peyton Manning, Reggie Wayne and their merry band of shoemakers. And he easily could have said there was miscommunication on the second interception with Garcon because he threw the ball to nobody in particular, about 20 yards over Garcon. The game losing interception was about 10 yards short of Garcon. He easily could have said, well, I got pressured and hit and that prevented me from following through. He didn't. He said, "I was, as you said, Fred, there were times where they did things that confused me. I just made a bad throw on the last one. It was a terrible throw. Now, we know that there was a reason it was a terrible throw, and Cunningham was the reason for that. Yep. So the Patriots definitely get the but the point about Manning was he didn't throw his offensive line under the bus the way he's been accused of. He didn't throw his receivers under the bus the way, which, he, in my opinion, he really hasn't done, and a lot of other people don't think he's done that either. But the Patriots players were there to make the plays. That's the key Cunningham and Sanders on the game-winning play, that's how you, I mean, that's what you need to do, and that's what we want to see more of, is the plays being made like that, rather than relying on the other team sort of messing up.
Right. As in San Diego.
Right.
Right. Now, this was a different game than San Diego completely. You know, I think the Patriots, up until the 10 minutes, obviously, would you say dominated the game? I don't know if they dominated.
Offensively, yes.
You know, they were giving up the points, and you knew that they had to answer, you know, drive for drive. But, you know, once they got up two scores, you know, 14 points, you figured, and then three scores by 17, you figured, okay, but here comes Manning.
It's never over.
And then, you know, you screw up on a couple drives, and all of a sudden they're right back in it.
It's never over. It's, you know, the bad horror movie. You shoot him, you shoot him, you shoot him, and he still pops up three more times.
Yeah.
And if I understood correctly, did the Patriots have no penalties?
No, they had
penalties.
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
Tully had a huge one.
Yeah.
In the fourth quarter.
Okay, that's true.
Yeah,
but
they had
no turnovers. So
no turnovers, definitely.
Yeah, no turnovers.
So, I mean, they weren't shooting themselves in the foot very much. And
yeah,
still...
early on they did nothing. That was what we were joking about. CBS put the thing up, and then they had the sack. It was like no sacks, no turnovers, no penalties, no negative plays or whatever, and then they had a sack right after the graphic hit the screen.
Right. Right.
Freeney, but the Tully one. It was one of those cheap ones. Not cheap in what he did. It was one of those where they see the second guy.
Yeah, the guy.
I understand why he got the penalty.
Yeah.
It's absolutely a penalty because he buried a guy after the whistle. But he was doing it for the right reasons. He was protecting his teammate.
Right.
And he absolutely was protecting his teammate.
It was Gerard Warren, right? Had his helmet off.
Big
money.
Three guys were giving him the business.
And Tully pushed one of them down. You know, he stood up for his friend, you know, in the playground. And he got caught by the teacher.
I was told yesterday that penalty was not looked upon very kindly in the Patriots locker room, however, which I was kind of surprised because that's the way I saw the penalty, Andy. I'm not ever advocating hitting a guy after the whistle. That was a big, you know, you got to keep you cool and all that. But if I'm a coach and I look at that and I'm like, he's protecting his teammate.
Yeah, you just got to do it another. We got to step in between.
I know.
Unless he shouldn't have been protecting his teammate. Remember when Russ Tucker, what's his name? Tucker? The guy on said was coming up with his dirtiest plays ever, and he listed Gerard Warren and said he had him in an arm bar and told him he was going to break his effing arm. So Gerard Warren might have been deserving to be beat up on by three Colts.
Well, certainly wasn't as bad as what Seymour did. That was a nice shot that he gave.
It was a nice shot.
I did watch that video this morning.
We finally saw it.
Yeah. And I don't think Roethlisberger was faking it.
I don't really.
I think
it caught
him off just
guard.
Right.
Yeah. I think it caught him off guard, off balance a little bit. Yeah. And he's a big guy. He's 310 pounds, and he popped him right on the chin.
Yeah.
It dropped him.
But it was weird because Roethlisberger came in and put his hand on Seymour's shoulder, and he wasn't talking to Seymour. He was talking to somebody else, and I think after that scuffle, Seymour just felt the guy touch him and just whacked.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So.
Wow.
And it cost him $25,000.
Yeah. So. Patriots moving on from the Colts, you know, I don't know what else to say about the game. I think, you know, everything that we need to say has been said.
Can they win a Super Bowl with this defense?
Yes.
It's what we're all arguing. I guess you guys did it yesterday on All Access Point Counterpoint. Paul and I did it on Trash Talk today. I agree with you.
Not playing like this, they can't. They have to play.
But
better.
who is playing that well?
I don't care about the other teams,
Fred.
But that's.
I don't care about the other teams.
But Paul, that's who you're going to play. You're going to play other teams.
If you 3 weeks in a row in the playoffs, if you give up more than 50% on third down, more than 25 points, and more than 400 yards, you will not win all three games. That'll be my little prediction. We'll see if they can do it.
Well, you're probably right.
They probably won't
that's
do it.
What we're
they
saying.
Probably won't fulfill the statistical requirements.
They'll have
of your
to
little...
improve. That's my point.
Maybe.
You can't win doing this.
They could still suck and not have those numbers on the board.
But they'll have to improve. You can't survive doing this. You can't let the other team go 11 for 14 on third down and expect to win.
I'm with you, Fred. This year,
big
this
surprise,
bad league.
Up to the boss.
Yeah, I just think you do have to take into consideration the competition, Paul.
You beat the Colts, the Steelers,
I'm
you beat the Chargers,
they're
gonna
be
you
three
beat
playoff
the Ravens.
Game. I'm going to assume they're going to be three playoff teams they play in the playoffs.
Like they've beaten so far playing crappy defense.
Right.
That's right. We already took
every
care
one
of the Colts,
them,
the Steelers, the Ravens. So
unless you say
I mean,
it's the Jets, because the Jets beat you. You couldn't play that
and
game.
And we'll see.
Jets.
We'll see December 6th what happens there.
But I think this is
that'll be the game that counts.
What?
That'll be the only game that counts, I guess. The games that they lose don't count.
What's he talking about?
Now I'm with him. You did that last week. You knew nothing after the Browns game, and last week you said,
Thank you.
We can say what the Patriots are. They beat the Steelers. That's what you did.
No, I didn't.
You wrote it. I can get the paper for you.
I can have it read back to you if you
I
want.
I said it's encouraging because now we know what they're capable of.
Yeah.
But I don't. Why are they not? Why were you not discouraged the week before?
Because we knew they were capable of putting up a stinker
against the 3-7 team.
Against any team.
I'm not sure.
I didn't know they could do that.
I hadn't seen that. I mean, that beatdown was like nothing before.
Well, maybe not that bad, but we knew they were capable of losing that game.
That was they didn't show up. I didn't know they were capable.
I didn't think they were capable of losing that game. I'll be honest with you.
Oh, I thought they could lose, but not the way they were manhandled.
Yeah. So you think they're dominant?
No, I don't think they're dominant.
I think
they're better than 3-7 teams.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
But this is the NFL, Paul.
There's nothing between dominant and being able to beat a 3-7 team.
Black and white.
Do you think they can lose this week?
Yes.
Okay, then you're consistent. I don't. I think that you should be able at 8-2. I think you should be able to walk over a 2-8 team.
Do you think that the Jets could lose to the Lions?
Do I think the Jets? No.
They almost did.
It's a good point. It's a good point. Yeah.
I think any team is capable, but I think 80% of the time the Jets would beat the Lions, and 80% of the time.
I get made fun of for not you know, being stuck. I just said that's a good point.
No.
You made a good point.
And 80% of the time I think the Patriots would beat the Lions, but this is the NFL. Anything can happen. There's no dominant teams this year, you know.
But I didn't say that they were dominant. I mean
dominant over one team over another. I don't mean over the whole league. I don't think the best team is that much better than the worst team. Even the Bills are starting to win games, you know?
I think this season more than usual, that's the case.
It's
a smaller margin between the top and the bottom.
I agree with you, but it's for a different reason, that's all. I just don't think they're that good. This is my point.
But that good compared to past years. But this year,
I don't think they're that good compared to the other teams in the league. Just the point that you just said. The Bills and the Patriots, you don't see much of a difference.
So what is the difference? Why are they 9-2?
8-2.
They're eight and two.
I'm sorry.
Jesus.
8-2. Well, there has to be some difference that's helping them win games.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they're one of the bad teams. I mean, there's like an in-between ground here.
Right.
I think they have a coach and a quarterback that separates them.
There you go.
But it doesn't make them better than everybody.
I didn't say
that. It separates them from the teams that you're talking about.
One of the bottom dwellers. One of the better teams in this league, and when you get to the playoffs, as good a chance as any to win, even with the way the defense is playing now, because the way the defense is playing now has given them 8 wins.
Unfortunately, I should say fortunately, we probably are not going to get a finish to this argument because Andy's right. If they get to the playoffs, I'm going to guess they're going to have cleaned some of this up.
Right.
And they're not going to continue to do this every single game.
Or even circumstance will clean it up.
Right.
You know, it'll snow so they can't give up 400 yards, or something will happen. It'll be windy and you can't throw the ball, and that'll cut the yardage down, the yardage total.
Right.
Even though you could get run over or whatever, maybe you only give up 200. So there's virtually no chance we'll be proven right or wrong on this. Quick interjection of Red Sox news, Paul. Did you see Victor Martinez reportedly signed with the Tigers. Bears. Oh, my.
Screw baseball. Let's talk football, right?
You know, it's appropriate.
Come on, Kevin. You got to get on there.
Screw you.
Screw the Sox. Let's talk some football. There it is. All right.
All right.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. And right now on the Ace Ticket Hotline is Brad from the Eastern Shore. Hey, Brad.
Hey, Fred.
What's happening?
And gentlemen.
What's up, Brad?
Hey, Brad.
A couple pretty interesting weeks. Haven't called in for a while. Sorry, work and surgery prevented that. But
now you're back.
Now I'm back. So, I mistyped something to Fred, and, of course, that's what Fred had to post Sunday. I noticed that, Fred.
What was that?
That's funny. Fred didn't notice.
I put Fred, comma, and hit enter instead of return.
And I made fun of him.
Yeah, and you posted that. Thanks a lot.
No, I posted his, and then I put Brad, comma, and that was it.
His curse words, I really got to check it out one of these games.
It's fast and furious. It really is.
You know, I agree with Paul. As much as Paul and I disagree on a lot of things,
I'm really surprised, to be honest with you.
I fear that if our defense continues, that we will see another playoff beatdown. You know, we've lost games against the Jets that we should have won. We won a game Sunday that very possibly we should have lost, albeit James Sanders' miraculous 2 weeks in a row pick. And in between those, we had Cleveland run us into the ground worse than Ray Rice did in Baltimore.
Here's one thing I'll disagree. I'm not going to get into this year. Oh, were it not for this, they would be, you know, 9-1 instead of 8-2, because that Jets game, you said that they lost a game they should have won. No, they should have lost that game. You know, that they, you can't get into it this year because of the close margin of, well, if it wasn't
it's not
this,
a game you want to get into this year.
Yeah.
Because every team can do it.
Yeah.
Because
exactly.
the quote unquote should be record is a lot worse than
right.
8-2.
You can make the case for a lot of these games, like Baltimore, they should have lost that game.
And,
you know,
Detroit.
Yeah. Well,
and they're winning games. There's no doubt about that, which is great. I mean, like you guys said, this is the difference between this year and last year, is that they're making those plays somehow. The Teddy Bruschi plays, the Rodney Harrison plays, you know.
We call them James Sanders plays.
Now. Right. Well, now it's James Sanders. Yeah, now Andy it's different guys. Now it's McCourty and it's Mayo and it's Sanders and, you know, Gronk looking like an idiot 1 week and coming back and having just the game of his life the very next week. And he played a very solid run game last week.
He's an excellent blocker.
Right, where he took Freeney. Well, I know we talked about the Algie Crumpler saying, you know, when he knows who to block, he blocks him really well.
Yep.
Well, he took Freeney like 20 yards off the play twice when it was just he on Freeney. So, you know, that gives me a lot of hope. Maybe that we didn't have last year was that power game that if we need to, we have a running back that runs downhill and doesn't dance in the backfield, an offensive lineman that can fire off and hit somebody.
Are you confident in Ben Jarvis Green Ellis?
I am.
Okay.
I've watched a lot of running backs come and go for the Patriots, and he just seems like one of those guys that at least he's running forward, and that's all I've ever asked from Craig James to Sam Cunningham. Just run forward. You know, if
for,
you're going
to
get...
For me, though, I still, for some reason, always feel like when he has a good run or a good game, it's a pleasant surprise. Like, I'm not yet to the point where I expect him to produce with any consistency.
I am confident in that he will hit the hole, he'll get the tough yards, and he's not going to turn the ball over, but he's not going to make a big play.
Right. And you know what? We gave up our big play. When Randy Moss walked out the door, Bill Belichick said, we will not have 70-yard plays this year. You know, if we can get a 20-yard run, if we can get a 30-yard run out of Danny Woodhead once every three or four games, I'm fine with that.
Those are big plays, though.
Oh, yeah. They are big plays, but I meant game change.
That's a game-changing play.
Right, Adrian Peterson running an 85-yard run, those are great. I'd rather have a guy that every time he touches the ball gets 4 yards. My son,
Adrian Peterson.
So you'd rather have Ben Jarvis Green Ellis than Adrian Peterson.
My 9-year-old was watching the game with me, and I said to him, "I said, Justin, if we get 4 yards every time we run, we never will punt the ball, and that's the key of football. Getting 4 yards versus 2 is huge in football. And for me, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis and Danny Woodhead are getting those 4 yards. They're not getting 1.5."
No, it's a good point. I mean, I think Woodhead's averaging over 5 yards a carry or even more.
And, as he should, though, in that role.
As he should,
Jarvis Green Ellis is averaging over 4. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you're right in that respect that these guys are – they're not leaving yards in the field.
But Ben Jarvis Green Ellis has also had as many games where he had 2 yards a carry, 1.7 a carry.
That was not so much this year. I would agree with that last year. But I think
he's
this year
he's had at least 5-4.
Baltimore, Minnesota. There's another one.
Well, Minnesota.
Minnesota
up until
the last drive.
But he's had his games this year where it was 1.7, 2.2, 2.0.
I think it was 3 in a row. I can't. Think
That's
of
why
one.
I still am not totally sold that the good Ben Jarvis Green Ellis is the
with
one
Fred's,
I'm going to get.
Fred's characterization. I know he's going to move forward, and I know he's going to protect the football.
That's all we need. Brady's protecting. I mean, nobody's talking about Brady's interceptions this year. Why? Because he's not having any.
No one talked about him last year either, because he didn't throw any last year either.
Well, here's the thing.
If he's protecting the ball and our running backs are protecting the ball, which Maroney didn't down the stretch last year,
and
then
the defense is turning the ball over, you win. That's why they're 8-2.
But when you play a team like the Jets, you need to run the ball as well as – you can't just wing it. You know, if you're throwing the ball up 50 times against the Jets, you're probably going to lose.
I think we'll do better against the Jets, not only because we'll be home, but I think Brady in that second half, and we all talked about it, got so focused on forcing the ball to Moss that he gave up on everybody else.
I mean, he only threw it to him 4 times in the second half.
That's Brian Cox-like and how overrated it is personally.
You know, Now, you can say, well, those four times were critical situations.
Yeah, because I was going to say two of them ended up being interceptions.
Yeah, I mean, but...
One of which was a punt.
One was a third down bomb.
Yeah. Right.
I think
so what's the difference if it was intercepted or incomplete?
I think you're taking away from Tom Brady by saying that. I think if there were other things available, he would have taken it. The Jets were doing a damn good job in that second
half.
Now, here's
the thing that I'm most encouraged about for the Jets is the Jets' defense has seemingly gone in the tank since then, and especially their pass defense.
Absolutely.
So I know everybody – Andy's going to hit this one right in the head. Everybody's going to sit there and say, see, you take Randy Moss out of the equation, and you spread it around, and you go to these different guys, and you can be more productive. Well, no. Right now, the Jets are getting eviscerated by everybody in the secondary, especially with the game on the line.
And if you
the Lions
seen...
went down the field on him with ease. The Browns went on the field in the two-minute drill to tie the game. The Texans did it three times at the end of the game.
It seems to me that the teams have figured out where the Jets' pressure is coming from.
Have you guys Have you guys seen any worse coaching than Cleveland and Houston did against the Jets in the last 2 weeks, in the last 2 minutes of a game?
Houston one was eye-opening. I'm not really sure. Cleveland,
remember they had the ball in overtime with time to run it out and just take a tie?
Yeah.
And on first down.
I don't play that way. I'm not advocating playing for a tie.
But then first down, they threw the ball, which took no time off the clock.
Yeah, I
still think the worst play was catching the interception.
The interception was the one that caused that, but.
That backed you up.
If I have the ball and I have a reasonable chance to win the game, I'm trying to win the game. I'm not playing.
But
for
I think the Jets, I mean, they've got the, I loved, Fred's curse words where he said, you know, or somebody wrote in and said that they've got a horseshoe stuck up their arse. It was one of our England boys.
Right.
And it's true. They're winning the lucky games. And that makes, you know, you better be rather be lucky than good.
Yeah. See, so, I think they're good. I think they're doing what good teams do. And when you don't play well, when you don't have your A game, you beat teams you should beat. Yeah. You find a way. You scrap it out.
I don't care what you call it. If you want to call it luck or good, just call it the same thing for the Patriots and the Jets.
Right. That's why I'm not.
They're both 8-2, and they're both very fortunate.
That's
to
why
be
I'm not getting into the well. They could have won that, or they should. You know, you can't do that because you can make the case on either side that they should have lost that.
Yeah,
so,
there's no question that there was a large amount of luck for the Jets Sunday.
Sure.
I mean, it's a game that they absolutely smoked.
Right.
Houston for 3.5 quarters, and the Sean Green fumble completely changed the complexion. They should have never been in that spot. But if you're losing by 4 points with no timeouts in less than a minute, there's no way that other team can allow you to go 80 yards like that. That's luck.
Right.
To throw a bomb down the sideline and have the guy be open like that, that is just pathetic. That's why Gary Kubiak's next, boys.
Brent says, Brent from Illinois says, Jensen Eric, I hope he's working today due to the short week. Great win by the Patriots. Love seeing Manning throwing interceptions. Fred, in your curse words, you mentioned that there was a story behind the short hair Brady picture being used on TV. Can you share the story? Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
No.
Well, I got this from a firsthand person.
Okay.
But
so
when
Tom told you?
No. Person who was there.
The photographer told him.
Okay. I don't want to give that out. But before the season, when they were doing all the headshots, they do that, you know, animated headshots, and they do the stills as well. The players come in one by one, and the photographer, you know, sets up for basically the day, and these guys come in. And Brady came in, and I'm not sure if I'm 100% accurate, but I think it was after a shower or maybe just after practice, but he looked a mess. And, you know, his hair had been growing at the time, so he comes in, tries to fix his hair. They take a couple pictures, and, you know, because it's digital now, they were looking at it and thought, no, that's not good. So they did another one. Nope, doesn't look good. Did a third one, and they just couldn't get it to look right. And Brady said, screw it, just use the old one. So.
See, I think the team should say, no, it doesn't represent who you are right now. We're trying to represent you.
Well.
You have hair.
Yeah.
And if he's going with the it doesn't look good theory, then he should cut his hair because it doesn't look good.
All right. Okay.
I kind of agree with the last part. It doesn't look good because his hair doesn't look good. I mean, I'm the most jealous guy on the planet. I wish I had an option. I don't. But what he has doesn't look good.
I could care less.
I could, you know, what would you bring it up for then?
No, but because
I could care less. Because
somebody asked the question on the blog, why are they using an old picture? And I said, there's a story behind that, but
into cardiac arrest?
I said, there's a story behind it, but I don't have time to tell it now. I'll tell it on Tuesday, and that's what it was. You know,
I can't believe that.
Yeah,
I mean that's your hair. That's your hair. I'm sorry you don't like the
way
it looks.
You're not going to get one that looks good. because that's the way it looks.
I think he's looked okay when after the shower.
When he has a hat on.
What? You know, and he's gone out with Giselle in some of those photos. He looks okay.
Yeah.
You know.
Looks like a bum. No offense to the bums that may be listening.
Let's see. Linden in Colton, California. You know where Colton is, Barry? Where, how far is that from Orange?
I actually don't know, but I met Linden. I'm guessing that's an hour to 2 hours up north from where I live.
He says, is anyone else worried about the fourth quarter play of the Pats this year? We were outscored by the Colts, Steelers, Browns, Vikings, Chargers, and Jets while scoring the same as the Bills and Bengals. I realize they won most of those games, but it is still worrisome.
It's a concern.
I agree.
They're playing a dangerous game. They're walking a tightrope here. There's not a lot of room for error, but so far they haven't really made the errors. Either the defense has stepped up like it did on Sunday, or finally the offense got going like it needed to against Baltimore with the defense giving it extra chances.
Right.
It's certainly dangerous. It's certainly not how you draw it up and want to play, but yeah. I think it's what you have right now. It's what you're going to have to do to win.
Brian in New Hampshire says, I was wondering if you guys had seen the uniform concepts that were leaked by Nike over the weekend. Needless to say, I think they look awful. Google 2012 Patriots jersey and it will come up.
Yes.
Well, those came out, but Nike is denying
that. Yeah, I heard
they
that those were fictitious. Yes. That, yeah. Some, that somebody
God, I hope so.
That's the official
they were
word.
Really ugly.
I'm yeah. not buying it.
I mean, that was terrible.
I think they were mock-ups by Nike.
I mean, the test is, would a kid or a man buy this and wear
or a man.
It? You know, could you see yourself buying that jersey and wearing it? No.
No.
It's got to be a jersey that people will want to wear.
See, I think they come from Nike, personally. And I think what they did is they just start the craziest thing, and then we'll subtract stuff, rein it back in, you know, negotiate.
Yeah,
you start with
possible,
your high offer, kind of.
Yeah.
Because we know that's what they did in college, is that they have these crazy uniforms. Oregon is the best example. They had a set of 10 this year that to different teams, Virginia and Miami. They like to tweak them. And the guy said when they got the contract, we're going to try to be revolutionary and redesign the uniforms. This is your first. It's kind of like the concept car. And then 5 years from now, when that car hits the parking lot of the dealership, it never looks like the concept.
Right.
They always took all the cool stuff off. Now it looks kind of like a normal car again.
Right.
Well, that's, I think, what they're going to do with the uniforms. We'll start up high and weave our way down.
Larry the Drunk says, great game. I will admit I had no hope when Manning started that drive. Every Pats player had that not again look in their eyes, including Brady, who looked like he'd get sick on the sideline. But in a moment of brilliance from Jimmy, that changed everything, and he had me screaming the house down. But back to Andy's point about a defense running on that big play turnover, although they were a better D, it was documented that the Saints last year were very, very much riding that wave.
Yes, and they straightened that out, number one, in the playoffs, where they didn't just rely on the turnover in the playoffs. And number two, and this is where I think there's a couple of big differences, and this is one of my major worries. The Saints' defense was not statistically very good last year. However, they did do a very good job of putting pressure on the quarterback. And I think when you have big leads and you put pressure on the quarterback like that, you're going to give up some yards, and then you're going to come up with turnovers as a result of the pressure. And that kind of goes hand in hand.
And it's what Greg Williams does.
Absolutely. He feeds off of it. I think that the 07, the Patriots' 2007 defense did that. I don't think it was a great statistical line-it-up, smash-em-up defense, but we had so many big leads, and then we would come up with, you know, the key sack. That's where Vrabel would come up with a strip
what
sack
are those,
or something.
What do those two teams have in common?
What two teams?
The 07 Patriots.
Oh, great offense.
That's the issue. That's the teams had, I mean, the Saints were trying to achieve the 07 Patriots. They were chasing early, midway through the season, the records,
right,
the points, and the yard, and all these things. They had an historic offense that helps you become a turnover defense, because all the other teams are now down 14, 21 points. They got to throw it. And yes, the schemes play into it with Greg Williams and his blitzes, and you had a guy in Sharper who can make the
right
plays
and
in the back end.
And that's what was so encouraging, I think, about the game-winning play this week, is because you were able to get some pressure and make a turnover.
You don't have any of the real pieces to the puzzle of, in theory, how you build that winning formula. You don't have the great offense. It's not the best offense that this earth has ever seen. It's good.
No, but
it scores points.
It's above average offense, but in this league, it's one of the best.
It's far below last year's Saints and far below the 07 Patriots,
mm-hmm,
in terms of what a defense has to be challenged by each week
I agree with
and
that
scheme for. And yet they're still making those plays. They're not They're not a creation of the offense and the score and the situation. They're a creation of guys making plays.
They've had a lot of leads.
They have, but not like that. Not where
like
I give the offense the credit for the turnover on defense.
Not like 07, but, I mean, how many 17-point leads have they had in the fourth quarter this year that have slipped away?
I don't know.
Two.
Okay.
I go, I don't know. Fred just throws out a number.
I don't think
he knows either.
So. Met an adolescence of PFW. This is from Tree Hugger in Oregon. Like many longtime listeners, I haven't emailed in a while, but I've been listening to every podcast and enjoying every minute of it. You guys have a tremendous thing going, and us fans of PFW should count ourselves lucky.
Yes.
Every time we tune in. That's nice.
Except for the start of today's show.
Is Andy having to do more laundry than usual as he dreams about James Manders making game-changing plays? I love the new look offense, keeping opposing defenses off guard by mixing up pass and run, play action, and distributing the ball to multiple players. In particular, I think this ball control style has been tremendously important for the defense to give them a chance to rest and evaluate what's going on. Any game this young defense wins, regardless of the yardage they give up, is a bonus. This leads me to the two questions. First, for five of the Pats' wins, they have built substantial leads only to allow the other team to come back late.
17 points in the fourth quarter.
Oh, how about it?
Late.
No, I thought it was two.
But it wasn't 17 points.
No, it's more than 17 in some of them.
You asked 17. For five of the Pats' wins, they have built substantial leads only to allow the other team to come back late to make things tense.
Thank you,
Emiler. Is that just playing conservative and trying not to get beat long or by allowing the underneath stuff? So, in other words,
I just don't think the defense is very good.
It's not prevent defense.
It's definitely not prevent defense.
Yes.
Defense is what it is.
I think the only game that had an element of that, Andy and I were talking about this, was Pittsburgh. And it worked. I mean, they had such a big lead with so little time left. It's not a really big play offense anyway, Pittsburgh. I think they were content to let them dump it over the middle to the backs and kind of peck their way down the field. Now, the Patriots didn't do a great job of prevent defense because they allowed touchdowns. You know, they got to like the 20-yard line and allowed to get thrown in the end zone. You're not supposed to let that happen. But
which gets back to they're not that good. They can't run regular defense or prevent defense very well.
Exactly. But this past week, you know, we talked about Kyle Arrington coming off the edge. I mean, is that prevent defense?
Right.
The cornerback, you know, in a strange thing. That was a gimmick. You know, that they're trying different things, talking about disguising coverages and whatnot. We saw McCourty on a blitz out of the slot earlier in the year in one of those situations. They're trying different things. Some of them haven't worked.
They also, I said to you, they started the game in the nickel, where it looked like they had kind of, we talked about last week, the no huddle, and you got to shorten your bench, can't rotate as much. They started in a nickel, and it seemed they had one substitution where Wright and Chung would go out, and who would come in, Paul? I forget who it was. But they had one substitution where they would go from the nickel essentially to a base defense. And then all of a sudden, they're up 21-7.
21-7 late in the second quarter.
And then all of a sudden they bring in their base defense, and I'm like, what are they expecting to run the ball? They're going to try and get back in this game.
And
they ran the ball right into the base defense.
It was funny because they ran it right into the base on that play.
So, you know, I just think they're doing things, different things.
That was a big series, too. You know, we kind of quickly went over the Colts game. The last series of the first half that the Colts went down the field, the missed tackle, and I'm not killing Kyle Arrington. He's been a very sure tackler, I think, all year, but the missed tackle on Wayne that got them close, allowed them to think touchdown rather than field goal, that was a big play. Really, really big play in that game because 21-10 is a lot different than 21-14.
Tree Hugger, second question is, have any of you had the enhanced pat-down yet? I have a feeling this whole thing would blow over if you could choose the gender of your security screener. I haven't had one. We don't.
Are we going to get an enhanced
pat-down? We travel charters.
We do get pat down.
I could always eat your salad.
But not the enhanced pat down.
Yeah. Although, if I could choose, there's a couple of them.
Oh, I know who you choose. Jesus. I know who you would choose.
You know who I'm talking about.
Yes.
So would you.
If I had to choose, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's not.
As soon as everybody gets off, we're going to grab them and have a party.
That's who I'd choose.
Sure.
Is she available?
That would be your top choice in the world?
In the world? No.
No.
I'm just saying.
Dave in North Park.
Out of sound bites.
Brooklyn Decker, do we have a sound bite?
Did you hear Gruden praise McDaniels last night for disguising his pass plays by making the protection mimic their power run play?
Yep.
It was so ridiculous. First, the Broncos at that point in the game were inept on offense. And second, Gruden was making McDaniels out to be a genius or something, doing something that high school teams do.
Yeah, I kind of had the same opinion.
Didn't see anything.
He did make me laugh, though, then when they ran one where it was a play-action fake away, and they left Sean Phillips unblocked on the backside, and the fullback, I guess he's a fullback, that Larson guy, was supposed to come around and pick up and never got there. It's a block that I don't think a running back can make more than once out of 10 times. And he goes, yeah, I've been praising him, but he might want to leave that one back in the playbook because that one's not very well, but that's what teams do is play action passing is supposed to look like a run play, and then it's a pass play. Like, it's kind of basic football.
Well, did you see early in the game, I think Denver went down 7-0, and then they tied it 7-7 on their second drive, and McDaniels
Denver
on the side.
Denver scored first. In the
whatever,
game.
Their first touchdown. McDaniels on the sideline, it was like they just won the Super Bowl, and it's just it's
he likes
ridiculous.
To celebrate. You hate him.
I think he needs to, you know, tone it down a little bit.
It's so funny.
You know, I understand, you know, he doesn't want to be Bill Belichick stoic on the sideline, but I mean,
stoic.
Just, you know, it's the whole college, you know, whoopee after they score a touchdown.
Whoopee.
You know, 7-0.
It's so funny how much he hates him.
And I think that's getting on, that's irritating other coaches, perhaps.
Okay. Did you watch the pregame show?
No.
Did you?
No.
It was a good fight between Steve Young and Matt Millen that I think was an actual fight.
Oh, good.
Was it? Have you read anything?
No.
Did it make? Because, and they actually went back to something and then they threw to Bristol, and Berman actually made a joke about the fight because they finished an argument about Brad Childress. And Steve Young said something basically that, you know, it was to the point where Brett Favre was running the team. The coach had lost the team. He wasn't running the team. And they argued it out, and they're just finishing. And Matt Millen goes, and I want to get back to that crap about running the team. He wasn't running the team. And, like, Steve Young is, like, stunned. Like, it was almost like when Paul quit on the point-counterpoint. Steve Young just quit. And I think he realized it was an awkward moment, so he just put on a big smile and looked at the camera. It was uncomfortable. Wow. It was awkward. Wow. Matt Millen went after him. I enjoyed it.
Wow.
Steve Young, very dumb, by the way, for a guy who's a lawyer and all this smart guy. He can't speak.
You know what I think? I think he's one of those. He's an Eric type.
He tries to throw in a big word and then stumps himself. It's like listening to Paul do his, I mean, Fred do his around the NFL.
Pseudo intellect.
And he's got that gel in his hair. Doug.
Well, he's hanging on a little bit too long to. Yeah. He's doing a Perillo.
Doug from Brantford, Connecticut. I know Paul loves to ride against the masses.
Hang on to his hair too long.
Just for the sake of being a contrarian, but if someone told Paul before the season that they would beat San Diego, Miami, Pittsburgh on the road, Indy, Baltimore, Minnesota at home, he would never imagine himself stating, I just don't think they're that good.
I'm not being a contrarian. What am I being a contrarian about?
I don't know. They're 8-2 and you're saying they're not that good?
But I agree with all. I never would have imagined them winning those games. I'm not saying I saw them winning those games all along.
No, but
now they won them and you're saying they're not good.
I didn't say they weren't good.
Oh, no, that's what he said. You said.
I know, but I never said that. I didn't say they weren't good.
I don't always listen.
Fred's the one that said there's not that much difference between the Buffalo Bills and the Patriots. I didn't say that. Fred did.
You said that, Fred?
I said in this league.
In this league, there's no difference between the teams.
I didn't
even
say
the bottom teams. The Bills are starting to win games now. There's not that much difference.
Barry, did I ever say there's no difference?
There's not that much difference.
Chan Gailey and Bill Belichick are the same.
Time.
Ryan Fitzpatrick and Tom Brady are the same.
Right.
I only have to go two spots deep on the depth
and
chart before I have a huge
difference. That's
why
the Patriots have that advantage over other teams.
But I think it's an enormous advantage over that particular team. You think it's not that much.
Sure. Joel and Merrimack.
Just froze his eyes.
Because he said it, not me.
Hey, guys. Hi, Eric. Well, Peter King now thinks that the Packers are the best team in the NFL, and I couldn't disagree more. My list goes Jets, Patriots, Packers. Yes, that's right. I still don't think the Patriots are the best team in the league or the AFC for all that matter. And until they beat the Jets, I'm sticking with that. What do you guys think? Keep up the great show.
I think the Patriots are better than the Jets right now. I think they're playing better.
I would give them the edge over the Jets right now, and I didn't.
Is that being a contrarian?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I didn't a couple
Why?
Weeks ago.
Because he just said that they're better. The Jets are better, so you actually
Paul
disagreed
said,
with the public
because
opinion.
Of,
no, but then the guy asked, what do you guys think? So
yeah,
I,
he's
I
asked.
Said, what
you're
I
a contrarian.
Think.
You disagreed with him.
No, I'm agreeing
you're
with
a buffoon.
Him. We all think that maybe the Jets have a little bit of an edge. I mean, the Patriots have an edge, but I did think that the Jets were better up until recently only because of the way their defense is playing. You know, recently.
That's a concern. There you is know, a little bit of a feel for the 07 Patriots where, hey, did people figure out this Jets defense?
Exactly. The two fourth quarters that they've had the last 2 weeks, to me, should be eye-opening for Rex Ryan.
He's got Packers shut
he's
out got the
to
Jets
find
three
a way.
Weeks ago?
Yeah, that was a funny game. That was a very funny game. I think the Packers are a very good team. That's not going to be an easy game here.
They're a good team. I'm not sure they're very good.
I you know, there is no
think
game
any very
left
good.
That's
take the very
I'm
out
I'm the
there.
Contrarian. I say a team is very good. They're good. I don't
think there's
very
a very good.
Good
team on this on the schedule for any week. I think they're good.
But
they're
all
team.
Teams that can win.
So there's no very good teams.
That doesn't make
teams.
You good.
But in this,
somebody has to win every game.
Look at it relative
right,
to this season.
Said. Take the very out of the season.
Okay. Contrarian. I said that, and I get yelled at.
Just a realist.
But that's, you're basically saying the same thing that I said.
Well, you said somebody sucked, I thought, or something. You said the Patriots aren't good.
No, I didn't.
That's what he said.
Sorry, it's not what I said.
I don't listen, so I can't be.
Jordan from Oregon, he says, I'm the guy who wouldn't let in because I didn't give any notification I was coming to Boston, and it really sucked not meeting you guys. Basically ruined my part of the trip, that part of the trip. But I just wanted to say that Boston was amazing. The game experience is even better, except one thing. In Oregon, at Autzen Stadium, we have one of the loudest crowds in the nation, and at the Patriots game, it seemed really bland and quiet, like no one was standing until the last drive by the Colts. And at Oregon games, I'm so tired after the game from standing for 3 straight hours and yelling my head off. So we as New England Patriots fans need to find something to motivate us and get loud at these games. Where were all the crazy Boston fans I always heard about? Jordan, sorry you couldn't get in that day, but we need a little advance notice. But other than that, we share your problems with the fans. They're not loud enough.
I'll give you a little bit of my first-hand input about noise at the stadium.
Yep.
That you don't really observe, or you don't think about when you're watching the game on TV, is once you get to colder weather and you have gloves on your hands, that's half of the noise. Obviously, you're still making noise with your voice, but the fact that you can't make any noise with your hands clapping, that's a big factor in the amount of total crowd noise that goes on. So
that's a good point.
Trouble is, this place is quiet in the early part.
I know.
Sometimes,
okay,
too.
I can't explain that then.
It's quiet.
But I've been in Kansas City when it's been pretty cold, and it's still really loud, you know? So I don't know. I just think that we're just above it all, you know? We're above it. Like Paul.
But our...
Fred, you're trying to get me fired?
It's not your fault. Actually, the crowd, you should take credit, because since you were alone on the field this week, the crowd's louder than it's usually been.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's anything,
it's never his fault, but it's always his, you know, his idea when he got something right.
Well, for some reason did you guys notice that whole scream montage thing that Doc put together?
Nope. And he was disappointed when he came to each and every one of us post game and said, "Did you see it?" And all of us said no.
Well, it kind of went over like a lead balloon, and I told him that he used it at the wrong time, and
you guys fought.
Pretty much.
You told him that?
But don't you have that all programmed so you can't control it?
No Sox agreed with me.
No, but is it programmed in that everything, you know, when it's all going to run? Because that's what I've been told in the past.
It's scripted.
Well, during the breaks, that's programmed in, but not in game. That's not programmed.
Like the crowd.
Right, it'd be awkward if you were on offense and it said defense.
You mean the plays, you know, that we don't know what the plays are beforehand?
Right.
Thanks, Fred.
Well, what did you mean then? What are you talking about?
That stuff. Well, the entertainment things.
Of
like when the guy's going to be up going like this.
No, that's not programmed.
I was told it was. Now, I'm not talking about the plays.
How can you program that?
Oh, boy, here we go. Look what I started.
We don't have time for this week.
All right, so it was just a dumb question by Paul.
I don't understand what is the hard part to understand
Luke,
on your part.
Luke from Manchester, he says, screw the Glazers. Manchester, England. Chung has been one of the better players on defense this year due to all his action attitude. Playing speed and makes the defense better as a whole. He will play a key role moving forward. However, he is having his struggles in coverage at times, and I don't think it's too reactionary to have a look at that after the Colts game, as he struggled at other times too.
All season.
There were the 2 touchdowns, obviously, and he also fell down after sharp cuts by Colley in the first half and Wayne on a crucial 3rd and 6 toward the end of the game. Will Hite was out in this game, but Chung has still had similar responsibilities in the past when he was available from memory. He has done well at times, but other times was a bit fortunate with players like Randall L. stinking up the joint. My main questions are, why do you think he is the first man up in this role? Is it his sound tackling ability after the catch and physical nature? Do you see someone else being a better fit in that role against certain offensive sets, or are they just going to have to roll with what they have at this point and hope he wins the one-on-one battles more often than not?
Well, we've kind of compared him to a Troy Polamalu type all along, that he's not that great in coverage, and he's best coming towards the line of scrimmage, in the box, making plays, being physical. But in terms of being in the star role, the slot corner, I kind of assumed that it's because they didn't want to play Butler, that Butler was like their last option. But that theory kind of goes out the window when you do the Arrington thing and decide you're going to make Butler one of your starting corners. But they've used Chung in the slot all year at various points. I mean, we, back to training camp, we blogged about it all the time. They had two separate nickel packages. One was three safeties, one was three corners.
Yeah.
So I assume they think or they like his ability there, even though it hasn't looked all that good on the field.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's much better coming toward the line of scrimmage in support.
Yep.
And
what do you call that? I keep putting my arms out. Like, it's like when they show you the little picture of the car and where your headlight beams go. As long as he's doing that. It's not your periphery, really. It's
working in a funnel or whatever.
Something. I don't know. At an angle, kind of, going forward at all times.
Cone.
Yeah.
But he's
conical. He's a conical player.
He's had a very, very solid season.
Oh, yeah.
He's definitely improved. I mean, we were all wondering, how did this guy earn a starting role? Because, you know, the end of last season to the beginning of camp, all of a sudden he just was the starter.
I do have concerns in coverage for him, but I think they might be asking him to do too much in terms of what Andy just talked about.
Why isn't Merriweather doing it? He was the guy who was drafted. He was a corner when he was drafted.
Drafted as a corner and had corner capabilities, we were told.
Yeah, he was Ed Reed. No. He doesn't look like Ed Reed.
I don't know.
See Ed Reed. Every time he plays, he picks it off and pitches it to guy for a touchdown.
Got another one this
He's ridiculous. Yeah. Re-goddamn-diculous.
That pitch this week was ridiculous. That was a good, like, 8 yards away.
You see, Ray Lewis was mad on the back. He wanted the pitch on the backside. Ray Lewis was on the other side. He was yelling for the ball.
So you know what the problem with that is now? He does that so often that instead of getting out in front and blocking for him, they all get behind him.
To try to be the guy who's the pitch man. It's like rugby.
Ivan writes in, long time no email. This is Ivan from Roseville. Let's get down to business here. First off, I want to say happy early Thanksgiving to everyone working at PFW, including Kevin, and all the listeners as well. Now let's see. I love the win against Peyton Manning and the Colts on Sunday. I'm sure everyone did. I thought we were going to blow the Colts out after seeing how great our offense was doing in the first half and how our defense was doing up until the touchdown by Manning to close out the half. I'm not taking anything away from the Patriots win or anything, but imagine if we had not intercepted Manning three times. The game would have turned out a lot differently. I don't want to take anything away from our defense, but one of these days, heaven forbid, it's in the playoffs, we will not be able to get a turnover and get picked apart. Oh, and by the way, I read an article online after the game. Bill Belichick started playing lacrosse in the field at Gillette Stadium. Sounds fun. Anyway, keep up the great work. Yeah, he was actually playing with Paul Rabil.
Yeah, some famous guy I never heard of.
He is the best player in the world right now.
That's what Bill said.
He's got it all. He's big. He's fast.
Who's he play for?
The Boston Cannons.
Wow, he plays in my city.
Yep.
He's the best player in the world, and I've never heard the name.
Yeah, well, you're not into lacrosse. What can I say?
No, but shouldn't I know the name? If the best in the world, I've heard of Yo-Yo Ma.
All right, who's the best field hockey player in the world?
I don't know. Do they play in Boston? Thank you. No further
questions. I hate soccer as much as I hate anything. I know who David Beckham is, and, you know.
But he doesn't play in Boston.
The names.
Right, that's my point.
The best in the world, you said he was.
This guy is the best in the world.
Not the best in
Boston. I
know, but I think soccer is a little bigger sport than lacrosse is worldwide.
But that's my point. I'm giving it credit.
That is my point.
That it's not as big, but he's in my city. I'm not saying I'm in California. I've never heard of him.
You know, if you want to denigrate, you know, lacrosse and Paul Rabil, go ahead.
I know it's your sport right now until you move on. You go through
these phases.
He's
very argumentative.
You used to like soccer, too, and then you kicked it to the curb.
You should know.
For
I got a little wiener.
He's very, very
argumentative. You know who Mikey Powell is?
Mike Powell, the long jumper, 28.
No,
he was a lacrosse player, wasn't he, Freddie?
He was one of the greatest.
Yeah, I knew him.
Yeah. I've heard of the long jumper. He was one of the greatest.
You just don't
jumpers.
Know lacrosse.
I heard
you
of
made
the gate.
My point for me. I'd heard of Mike
heard
Powell,
of
the long jumper.
What?
Gary and Paul Gate from Syracuse.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. The Gate brothers.
Yeah. Yeah, heard of them.
Yeah.
The kid from Duxbury there,
Matt
Quinzani.
Yeah.
Heard of him.
Okay.
But the best lacrosse player in the world plays half hour up the street, and I've never heard of him.
All right.
Maybe it's the Boston Globe's fault. Maybe they're not doing a good enough job as a newspaper.
Should bring the family.
I agree with that.
What'd
you think? Wait, what are we talking about?
I think they play at Harvard Stadium.
They do play at Harvard.
Oh, it's outdoor lacrosse?
Yeah.
Should bring the family. Go
it's
check it out.
It's full field lacrosse. It's not that indoor stuff.
It's not box lacrosse now.
Yeah. This is full field lacrosse.
Really?
Yeah.
Didn't even know that existed. I thought it was indoor at the Garden.
No. That's another team. That's the Boston
Lobsters.
No.
That's Tennessee.
That's the Tennessee.
I forget the name of the indoor team, but there is an indoor
Cannons.
Team. No, that's the outdoor team.
Revolutionary Soldiers.
All right, that's it. Big Al from Afghanistan writes, and if you had predicted at the start of the season the Patriots would go 5-1 against AFC opponents outside the Eastern Division,
absolutely,
then I'd have thought you were delusional. But there you have it, a 5-0-1 record in those very crucial games, and we have a solid shot at running the table in terms of the division games we have left. That would also be a 5-1 mark. So if we just split with the NFC North, we go 12-4. For example, there already is a lot of chatter about this being a trap game against Detroit. I would agree. And here's the deal. If we lose, I don't care. The Jets game the following week is just plain more important than the game against the Lions. It just is. I've said it a couple times on your show, and I still believe it. Non-conference road games are the closest thing to exhibition games that you play during the regular season. So if we lose at Detroit and at Chicago, it's okay by me, so long as we beat the Jets and otherwise finish 12-4. Okay. I'll buy that. But you're making it tough on yourself.
Yeah,
you're making every one of those.
I think you're almost guaranteeing that you're going to be the 5 seed if you do that. I mean, you're asking the Jets to not only lose to you, but to somebody else.
Right.
Now you need help. You know, I don't think you want to put yourself in a position where you need help. Right?
Right.
And then you're at the mercy of tiebreakers and stuff, even if they do lose another game. I mean, the Jets would have 3 losses, and you're saying the Patriots would have 4, right?
If the Jets run the rest of the table, yeah.
Other than the Patriots game. So now they have to lose another game.
Yeah.
I think it's I don't know if this is being contrarian, Andy,
probably.
But I think it's absolutely enormous winning the division. That the difference between the 1 seed and the 5 seed is a big, big difference.
Yeah, you look at those 1 seeds, and usually in their own division, they're like 6-0 or 5-1. Right.
Well, he's advocating going 5-1. I'm talking about if they don't win the division. If they lose to Chicago and Detroit, there's a very, very good chance they're not going to win the division, even if they beat the Jets.
Right.
You're asking the Jets to then lose another game. And I don't want to rely on help. I want to just have that game be the deciding factor.
Don't you also think that regardless of the seeding, the Jets versus the Colts, Steelers, or Ravens, those games are almost going to be pick-ems? That the Jets, even at home, are not necessarily going to be overwhelming favorites? That
against who?
Any of the other AFC playoff contenders.
Who do they play?
Well, the Jets haven't been invincible at home, that's for sure. But you're still in the playoffs. You get that 1 or 2 seed, that means you only have to win 2 games.
Yeah, getting the bye,
and then you're
huge
in the Super Bowl.
You're right.
I mean, I certainly can't advocate losing to Detroit, because you could go out and play a really good game against Green Bay and lose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, you could go to Chicago. I mean, I don't think Chicago's a great team. It's another team. They're 7-3. I don't think they're that good. They could give you problems.
They
could beat you. In Chicago, bad weather.
You know, when their defense shows up, they're tough to beat.
Yeah, and that's bad. That's a bad weather place. You know, that could, you know, like Andy said, that could impact the passing game or something. So I don't want to throw away a game against a team like Detroit and say, and I agree with Al in that if you're going to lose games, the games to lose are the NFC games.
Right.
They're the ones that mean the least.
Sean from Pennsylvania, been a while since I wrote, just wishing you and yours a happy Thanksgiving. Been a surprising season so far. Hopefully more surprises to come. I think what is going to be our downfall this season is the play calling from Bill O'Brien down the stretch. We need to make sure we are stepping on the throat of teams. O'Brien's play calling may be our downfall. And a note to fellow Pats fans, it's okay to be critical of the team. Just because we say they may lose a game because we think the other team is better does not make us chicken littles. This team has flaws, but this year in the NFL, so does just about every team. But Brady and Belichick, I think, could make this a nice season to remember in a so-called retooling year. Want to also say, love the new Patriots Football Weekly show and the format. Was up to see the game with the greats, a class event. Hoping next year Paul can skip the road game and join the festivities next year as Drew Bledsoe enters the hall. It would be great to see him at the event. That would be good, Paul.
The game with the greats?
Now, were you presenting?
Drew Bledsoe, Paul Perreault?
Are you going to present to Drew when he goes into the hall?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Would you do it if they asked you to?
Very excited to be
Absolutely.
A Dallas Cowboy.
Why not?
Maybe we'd let you.
But wouldn't that be an honor?
Wait, but you should come here.
I am in no way at all qualified for that.
Why not?
Because I think there's...
I wouldn't underestimate you, Paul. I mean, you're on every TV show that has a Patriots logo on it, right?
Who else would be considered?
Lord, I wouldn't call you a media whore, but I feel like that would be offensive to whores.
I think Robert Kraft usually presents it. You know? So I don't know.
Therefore, I'm not exactly sure.
Only the team might have something, you know. But maybe he would step aside for you, knowing how big a fan you are of Bledsoe.
I think he's a pretty big fan of Bledsoe as well, the owner.
That's true.
Paul loses on all levels.
Sean
Money,
also says Pat's
assets. Just so you know, I don't really take that as a criticism.
No. Sean says Pat should win a close game 27-23. And a quick trivia, since the tight end has become a focus again, name the last Patriots tight end to score a touchdown on Turkey Day. The last Patriots tight end to score a touchdown on Thanksgiving.
Dwayne Wiggins. Christian Fourier.
No, no. Give up, because I don't think either one of you are going
to
get it.
I wanted to get it right.
Well, you're not
going to. Rod Rutledge.
Wrong.
All right. Hold on.
Want me to give you the year?
No, I'm going to say it's 84.
You're right.
Derek Ramsey.
Paul gets it.
Wow.
Who threw it?
Tony Eason.
Right. There he goes. Paul got it.
I didn't really get it.
There's only so many Thanksgiving Day games.
When it wasn't Fourier, I figured we didn't score. The tight end didn't score 1 and 0-2. We didn't score a touchdown in 2000. We lost 34-9.
How the hell does he remember that?
Because that's what I do. Anything that is in no way valuable to my life is in my head.
To anyone's life?
Exactly. If it was at all lucrative that I knew this stuff, I wouldn't know it.
All right. Let's see. Who should I talk about here?
I don't know.
Fred writes in from Nova Scotia. And he says, first of all, on behalf of everyone out there with a daughter, I would like to know where I can send my donation to the Richard Seymour Fine Repayment Fund. There has not been a better punch since Tyson knocked out that guy in The Hangover.
You reach Richard Seymour Fan Hotline.
How did that go? That didn't last very long.
No.
Huh?
I don't get what the point of it was.
Now,
hey, young lady.
Now on to the game. I'm glad that your show is not on until Tuesday. It gives people a couple days to decompress. I must say that I was so pissed off watching the end of the game that I was unable to come out of my pissed-off state when Sanders made the interception.
I know what you mean by that. Sometimes that happens.
I was
you're so mad that you're in that situation that it takes you 5 minutes to get happy about the fact that you still won the game.
Told you were negative.
I was still pissed off going to bed. I could not believe that it was going to happen again, although I sent you an email last week detailing exactly how the game was going to end, and to my disgust, I was right. We've seen this movie so many times before. The problem is that after a night's sleep, I found that my anger was misguided. I should not be mad at the defense.
Well, you shouldn't have gone to bed, Matt.
I should.
You should have gotten over it before that.
You're never supposed to go to bed angry.
I should and am pissed at the offense. It is these late game three and outs that are the problem. You can't ask your defense to stop Manning. Nobody can. But if you get a couple of first downs, this does not become an issue. Would this team please just keep using the normal offense in the fourth quarter that it has the other three quarters and stop trying to run the law firm when the other team is stuffing the box? The Vikings game was a fluke. This team can't run the ball late in the game. Stick to what you do best. You guys agree with that?
I agree with the last part. They're going to have a hard time, I think, lining up and running the ball when the other team knows it's coming.
Well, this is the second emailer who's had a problem with the play call.
I think they threw the ball down the stretch as often as they ran it. I mean, Brady was 0 for his last four, correct?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
After being 19 for 21.
He went 19 of 25.
He missed his last four passes. That's why you didn't move the chains, not because, you know.
Right. You know. That's why you go 0 for 3 on third downs.
I also think they went 3 and out down the stretch once. You know, it happens. They scored every time they got the ball in the game almost.
And they were, what, 7 of 8 on third down up until that point?
They scored 5 out of the first 6 times they had the ball. 5 of the first 6 times.
That's how I look at it. You're not going to have a
perfect day. You can't score every single possession. At some point, you got to say, you know what? We got the ball 6 times. We have 31 points on the board. That should be enough.
And you're going to get equally criticized. If you spread it out, they're going to say, why are you spreading it out? Can't we run the ball to put the game away? We don't always have to throw. Or if
it's
you try
all
to
about
run,
execution.
They say,
right.
Well,
it's totally about execution. I just think that because the offense has more proven players on it than the defense does, the defense sort of gets a pass.
True.
And that's, you know, if you want to call me a contrarian about the whole turnover thing, I guess I'm guilty of that. I just think that you can't play offense much more effectively than they've played it the last two games. And if that's not enough to put the game away, then you're in trouble. You know, this whole notion of how long did you think they were going to hold Peyton Manning? Well, was it unreasonable to expect them not to give up 21 points in the last 10 minutes, which they came 24 yards away from doing? Was that unreasonable to suggest? I have another question for you.
Go ahead.
I've been thinking about this. Andy, do you think the last time the Patriots had the ball, it was 4th and 7? From around the 32,
right.
I think.
Their own 32.
They were up 3. Obviously, 3 and 6 makes a big difference. I'm going back to 4th and 2, mm-hmm. if you haven't figured it out. Do you think if they were up 6, he may have gone for it? I mean, you can't go for it. Only 3, it's basically you're saying, I'm submitting, that's high. Right. Because they're basically already in field goal range before they even start.
Right.
32-yard kind of like line, the worst that happens is they take a long field goal attempt.
Kind of like your boy Randy Edsall did the other day for UConn.
What do you think? Do you think he would have gone for it again, or 7 too many yards to get as opposed to 2?
I think he probably would not have.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I don't either. Thanks. Just something I thought of driving home that night. I was like, 4th and 2 kind of came up again. 4th and 7's different.
Yeah. So what is that breaking point then? 5?
I don't know.
No, I think 4? It's 2 or less.
It was actually right at it last year, which
is crazy.
That's it.
I don't think he would have done
throw
that. I personally don't think he would do it.
3?
I personally don't think he would do it in the same situation again.
Really?
I don't.
I do.
Not from his own 20.
I give him credit for that. I think he's by the book, and his book, whatever his book was in his head, told him to go for it.
Or his own 28,
Eric writes in, not that Eric, but Eric with an E-R-I-C-K.
Eric Dampier.
Let's talk Woodhead.
I don't like that.
Man, this guy is bigger than he looks. Is he real, or is he going to fool us like Edelman? I love to see this kid run. It's like looking at a 10-year-old run with a jetpack. Keep up the good drama.
He's fun to watch. That was an electric run.
I saw a clip of him yesterday. I think it's going to be on All Access. Giving out turkeys and stuff, you know, for Thanksgiving with his wife.
Yeah. They were bigger than him.
It looked like a prom pitcher. It was unbelievable how young they are.
Is it fair to say, and this is no disrespect to Falk, that he has been is doing as well as Falk would have done?
I think he has.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm a huge Falk guy.
Right. For the short term, yeah, probably.
But I mean...
Falk did it regardless of game, location,
so
weather,
year. So let's
say
he finishes the season doing this. He continues to do it. At the end of the season, do you re-sign him to a long-term contract?
Well, he's already, for me, earned the right to battle for that role. Whether Falk is still here or not, whatever, he's fit in enough with this offense so that he comes to camp with me. No doubt.
I absolutely.
Did they only sign him to a one-year deal?
No. He's talking about re-signing Falk.
No, I'm talking about...
Oh, Woodhead, I think, is under contract.
Yeah. But like, it's probably a contract that...
He'll play for me next year. Then if he does it next year, maybe I say, you know what, I'll give this guy a 3-year deal.
Right.
Okay. So you give him another year.
Oh yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if they extended him in the off season.
Right.
Yeah. I think he is, and you know how unwilling I am to accept the new guys right away, flash in the pan type thing. He's been outstanding. How can you not take him back?
I thought it was all missed tackles.
I get misquoted by him more than anybody else.
I said it was a great run, and he goes, missed tackles.
I said, and I followed that with unbelievable.
To which I said, show me a great run that doesn't include some missed tackles.
I didn't say anything about missed tackles.
Yeah, you did.
That was later.
I read back to you.
Abe writes in, it didn't seem that Brady had the fire in him against the Colts that he had against the Steelers. Is there something that makes him want to beat the Steelers more than the Colts? I think because they were scoring points early against the Colts, and they weren't leaving him on the field. You know, he was mad at the Steelers because he realized – they were missing opportunities, and he wanted to keep his team in there and keep. But against the Colts, they were going up and down the field. I mean, what was there to be upset about?
It was different, though. He certainly didn't have the same fire. He wasn't yelling on the side.
I think he hates the Steelers, by the way, more than the Colts.
He was sitting with his head down on the sideline.
I think he thinks what we were all thinking at the end of the game. When he was sitting on the bench at the end of the game, I think he thought
it was over.
Just please score quick enough that I have a chance.
Freaking
to come
defense
back.
Was thinking it. They all said deja vu. We were thinking the same thing.
Yeah, Vinatieri thought it was over. He was ready to kick that game tying field goal.
Well, it wouldn't have been over if he'd kicked the game.
I think he was.
I thought it was over.
Kicking
over.
An extra point.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was over.
I thought it was going overtime. I didn't either.
Because going overtime, I think you have a chance.
Yeah, I would have looked over.
That's why I don't fault Manning and them for going for it. I don't think you settle for the field goal there. I think you end the game.
Absolutely. They made the right call. I think that the play that they did.
I don't even care about he just threw the ball up. You can't just throw the ball up off balance, falling right. away, throwing it up across. You can't
it was
do that.
I think it was a bad play. I don't have a problem with going to the end zone. Their mentality should have been touchdown.
Yes.
I just think that they would have been better off throwing another one short, maybe to Tammy over the middle. They had the timeout.
He kept saying, extend the game. Don't extend the game. End the game. Don't extend it. He kept using that phrase, which is what people use for tie the game, keep fighting, extend the game.
But the point I think
end the game.
No, the point I think he's making is there's no excuse for not extending the game. We had the,
right,
the field
goal. Right, that's because you made a mistake.
So I either win the game or I kick a field goal. I cannot throw an interception.
Right,
I cannot take
right.
a sack.
The mentality
extend
was not
the game
the
within
there.
That quarter.
Yes.
You,
right.
You
I think that's
you
what he was talking
play.
About. He
right.
made a bad play. There's
right.
no doubt about
and,
it.
And, you know, as a
and
Colt
choked.
Fan, I
and
like
the Patriots
his reaction.
Made a great plan.
He said it was sickening.
Right.
You know?
And the Patriots
yeah.
made a great play.
Steve from Canada.
Not the Patriots. James Sanders.
Jermaine Cunningham.
Good God.
Oh.
In
Mr.
James
I don't think he touched him post-game. Now he's giving all the credit to Cunningham. He is a contrarian.
I did
they
not.
They have nabbed Paul.
If you keep doing this, I'm really going to get pissed. I did not say that he didn't touch
you
him.
You did say.
Never
I'm not
once
sure
did
he touched
I say
him,
that.
You said.
But
even
I said
he
affected
him.
Him.
He caused it.
Well,
he caused the whole play.
Even if he didn't touch him.
Yeah. I think Manning kind of caused
I
it.
Told
I
you
Manning
about
shied
my
away
conversation
from contact, personally. I think Manning faded. I think
he didn't rotate his
right.
upper torso
because he
at
was
all.
Like the little kid in Little League baseball who's afraid of the ball and is stepping into the bucket. That's exactly what Manning
did. But I think that
he was afraid of the pass rusher.
I never said that he didn't touch him, and I told you about my conversation with Cunningham.
You did tell me later about that.
Oh,
that was after you said
you're
he didn't
unbelievable.
Touch him. You said he didn't touch him.
You just make stuff up.
Missed tackles.
Making it up.
Missed tackles.
Making it up.
You're just trying to cause trouble.
You got an email over there?
this is what we do. Because
we could go on all day.
Rodrigo in
tackles, making it up.
Rodrigo in Atlanta says, is Jimmy going to be the defensive player of the week again, Andy?
He should be.
And if so, this award is starting to be like the Pro Bowl.
Couldn't you make a stronger argument for this week?
He and
ended
no,
the
I'm
best
not
rivalry
serious,
in football.
He says.
No, no. I'm not either. We have one overrated safety who made a fraudulent Pro Bowl. We don't need two. But Ed Reed should make the Pro Bowl anytime he plays with more than one game per season based on what he does. But the question is, don't you think you can make a stronger case this week?
Yeah.
He ended Patriots-Colts, the greatest rivalry of our generation. He picked off Peyton Manning with the game on. He faded. I think this was the bigger play that should have earned him an award. It won't, because I got to think they say,
well,
we
you got
to give it to James Sanders.
Depends
well,
on what else happened in the league.
Evidently, the requirement is one play a week and you win the
No, but if
play
one play is going to do it, this was the play, not last week.
Absolutely.
It was part of an entire game last
Plus,
week.
This particular play was an outstanding individual effort.
God, yeah.
As opposed to catching a deflection and running it back, you know, which
right.
virtually anybody could do.
But if he wins it, I'll be proclaiming him the reigning two-time player.
James from Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina. When you are comparing the Jets to the Patriots, you have to look at the competition. The Jets have only beaten one team with a record over 500.
Patriots?
The Patriots. That was 8 games ago when the Patriots offense was still searching for an identity and the young defense had not started to gel. Of course, the Patriots also lost to the Browns in what can be called their worst game ever since their loss to the Ravens in the playoffs last year. But even the Super Bowl teams that have one game where they played poorly and lost big to a team they should have been beaten, that is when Belichick used that embarrassment to help make the team better. The Patriots, on the other hand, have now beaten 3 teams with over 500 records. If they take care of business in Detroit, then I have a feeling it will be 4 teams with winning records once they beat the Jets the following week. So
I like how they waited till the last 2 weeks to throw that stat out there, because the Patriots hadn't beaten any teams with a winning record before that.
Well, now we know.
Now we know.
Eric's here. We're getting close to having to go around the NFL, but before we take a break,
that.
Eric's back from practice. How's it? It's
warm.
Mild,
actually.
Though. Mild.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very much. Good.
You finally used that right.
Good use of the word, Fred.
Yes.
They're indoors, though, in preparation for the Ford Field experience on Thursday. And it was a lot warmer in there, too, than outside. Bill's expecting Schwartzy to pump up the heat.
Maybe. Bring in the heat a little bit.
Takes a criminal. Like a criminal.
It's technically Tuesday, but it's like a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday here. So, like the last 2 Wednesdays, there was no Tom Brady at practice. But he talked beforehand, so he's going to play, so let's not worry about it.
And he was limited in the walkthrough yesterday.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. They did have a walkthrough yesterday. They had an injury report.
And he was limited.
He was limited in a
limit
walkthrough.
Your way through? How is your participation in a walkthrough limited?
You ride a Segway, so you're not actually walking.
That's true, but then you did not participate in the walkthrough.
Good, Eric.
Right. So he was out. Will
Good
Hite.
Segway.
They had Segways?
Yeah, I'm making one right now to the rest of the report.
Okay.
Jonathan Wilhite with the hip. Was not there. Steve Neal with the shoulder was not there. Mike Wright with the neck/concussion was not there. That's how he was listed on yesterday's report.
Indeed.
Shells for the players. Throwback uniforms this week. The 85s that we saw on Halloween, those are back. 4 black shirts. Brian Hoyer, Taylor Price, Pierre Woods, who also got the belt.
And Baby Bubba for the second week gets a black shirt.
So Brian Hoyer did a good job as Manning.
As Manning. Pierre Woods, first week back on the job, gets a shirt.
Was he?
I don't know who they were. But
Mathis?
Maybe Freeney.
Someone of note. Taylor Price was Reggie Wayne.
I guess, yeah. And Ross couldn't have been Bob
Francisco
Sanders
Cabrera.
Or Francisco or whoever. So there you go, Fred.
What do we think the chances of Fred Taylor showing up? It's on Thursday.
I don't know. I thought he was going to play last week.
I thought he was going to play last week, too. So I'm going to guess.
They got to get him out there or put him
on
IR.
At this point, wait till the Jets. I mean, why bother this week?
Yeah, get him a warm-up. It's kind of like my Logan Mankins theory.
Need him.
Get him out there.
You need him, especially, you know, you got running backs coming off a short week. Wouldn't that benefit
I suppose,
benefit
but
Benny?
Benny fit?
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah.
I, like I said, from my conversation that I had with him 2 weeks ago, I thought for sure he was coming
move,
back
I thought.
For the Colts game.
Yeah.
So I think there's got to be unless he had some sort of setback that we don't know about, I got to think there's a reasonable shot that he's back for Thanksgiving.
But if he had a setback, I would think his status would change. He's been limited. Okay, Paul, what's that look for?
Nothing.
Okay.
No, I would think, you know, I agree. If they had a setback, maybe they'd just call it quits, don't you think?
Yeah.
I mean, it's getting to the point
now.
That
could happen, but I thought you meant on the report.
Well, that too. Yeah, I take those by the letter of the law,
the
word.
I don't think there would be a change to that.
When Mike Tomlin tells me that Hines Ward has a neck injury, he somehow got concussed after the game, after sitting out with said neck injury.
Yeah, that's a bad euphemism.
Yeah, but you know what?
That's a bad euphemism. A concussion is not a neck injury, and that's 2 weeks in a row that teams have done that.
Well, I give Bill credit. He saw somebody take advantage of the system, find a loophole, and shoot through it. And he goes, if they're going to be able to do it, I'm going to do it too. I'm going to do business as business is being done. I give Bill Belichick 100% credit.
Yeah, but you notice, like you said, it's now / concussion.
No, after the
afterwards,
game, they announced it in the press box as neck.
As neck, right.
Just like the Pittsburgh announced Hines Ward as neck. And then after the game, they say concussion.
Yeah.
I don't think neck is a euphemism for a concussion. That's not right.
But it keeps them out of, by rule, he can't return if you say he has a concussion. So keeps him out of that. I don't fault. It's the league I fault for saying,
allowing
it to take
the rules.
The first time Tomlin
that.
Did it, he should have been fined $25,000 for manipulating the injuries reporting
for misinterpreting the rules.
Yes. Seriously, I think he should have been
fined.
But the Steelers are the little pet team of the, are they the pet team or the hated team? I forget. Steelers?
Of who?
I don't know. Doesn't everybody say the officials love them or hate them or something in Pittsburgh?
Maybe it depends on the official.
I thought they had like a reputation of being loved or hated. In with the league or not?
Well, I think with the Roonies, I think that they're...
See, they're in with the league, so he doesn't get fined. See, that's my point.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we got to do the picks because this is our only show this week.
We'll
be right back.
This is Rich Eisen of NFL Network. Where do I go when I want my latest fresh, hot Patriots information? I go to PFW in Progress.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Oh, okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's got to be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking, like, newspapers, you know? When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian, you can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon.
For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only, equipment charges, taxes, and fees and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fire services available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pabst! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pabst!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help. I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pabst!
Indeed. Go Pats. With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open!
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Like what you've heard so far? You'll love it even more when you read it in Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or log on to pfwonline.com.
Back here at PFW Progress.
Freddie.
Yeah.
I have to add a minor codicil to my injury report, practice report.
Shut his mic up.
Have that removed, you know.
I know. I forgot to mention Myron Pryor.
You cauterize a codicil?
Returned to practice for the first time in weeks with his back issues.
He's back.
Oh. Yes.
Back again.
Right.
Okay.
So just wanted to.
Myron Pryor back on the field.
State
good.
That.
Okay.
Prior to playing?
Right.
All right. All right, so it is, what is it, week 12 now of the NFL season. And, Paul, why don't you tell us what the stand? I know I probably had another bad week. But...
Yeah, you were the worst.
As usual.
Andy, Eric, and I all went 12-4. You went 9-7. And with the spread, Andy and I went 9-7. Eric and Fred went 8-8.
Coming, baby.
So the standings... I'm 97-63. Eric is 94-66. Andy's 90-70. And Fred is 85-75. With the spread, I am 83-69-8. Eric is 79-73-8. Fred is 76-76-8. And Andy is 74-78-8. Hi ho. We're going to need some spreads, Kevin.
Why are you looking at your phone?
You might want to pot down the music a little bit, too, because we're shouting. This is Barry's phone, and he had some of the...
He knows how to use his better than you know how to use yours.
What, do you got a new device over there, hi-ho? It went off on me. we're going to need some spreads later on here, but we want to start it off here with the
all right,
4 o'clock Thanksgiving game.
We'll skip over the 12:30 game.
The next game you will see, we're going to skip right back.
The first game of the week, we'll skip over.
And we'll go to 4:15. The Cowboys are hosting, how do you read this? New Orleans?
New Orleans Saints.
Okay.
Not all that hard.
Yep. N-O.
Oh, my God.
The Saints by 3.5.
I'll take the Saints to win and cover. You know, nice little story. They're trying in Dallas now. Too little, too late. And I read that quote we had in our paper about how Kitna talking about how it's so hard to play quarterback because all the receivers want the ball in different places. Mm-hmm. I've never really heard anything like that before. I thought that was eye-opening about guys. This guy sees it better if it's between his frame. This guy wants it out in front. This guy wants it low. This guy wants it up over his head.
And I think further credence to the diva.
If I'm John Kitna,
for receivers.
If I put the ball within reach, catch it. Catch the damn football. Right. I got a hard enough job as it is. But he does have a hard job as quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. Their little resurgence ends at the hand of the Saints.
I totally agree. Saints by 10 or more. I will take the Saints as well for the exact reasons that Andy talked about. Little jump for Jason Garrett, but still not a really good football team.
I'll take the Saints as well. Barry, you want to do a quick prediction? Quick.
We're not recording.
I'll go Saints.
Saints. Okay.
See, it says here I only have four columns.
That's cool. I'm unofficial.
I would have gone Cowboys there with, if I were you, Fred.
All right, then the 8:20 game on Thanksgiving. The Jets are hosting Cincinnati.
Oh, and Cincinnati does not.
Jets by 9.
Jets by 9?
Hmm.
Ooh. I've been waiting for them. I've said the same thing the last 3 weeks in a row. You know, they're winning games, ugly games they should win. Sooner or later, they play well and actually win the way they should as one of the best teams in football. Sure. Why not? Let's make it this week. I'm going to say that Revis takes away T.O. or the other guy, Ocho Cinco, and that defense gets the job done. They get back to what they do, win football games for that team.
I'm not convinced of that. I do think they'll win, but I'll take the number, Paul.
What was the number?
9.
Ooh, that's
9.
A big number.
Yeah, I'm going to take the points as well, just because I'm not convinced on this pass defense for New York. I think they're really struggling.
Palmer stinks.
And I think that's why the Jets will win, is Palmer will throw for a lot of yards and probably had a couple of touchdowns, but he'll also have some picks. And I think that's why the Jets will probably be, well, winning the game. But I think they'll keep it within a score.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'll take the points. I think Ocho Cinco manages to focus this game.
Don't bait him into arguments in the one show late in picks that we're doing in a week.
Let's move over to Sunday, 1 o'clock. Another game at the Meadowlands. And this one's the Giants hosting Jacksonville. So it's a busy week for the grounds crew in New York.
Giants by 8.5.
New Jersey. I'll take the Giants to win and cover. I'll continue to sleep on the Jags. I have no interest in ever picking them.
Yeah, I'm disappointed with the way the Giants have been playing, though. I still think they'll win the game. Number, Paul, I'm sorry, what? 8.5. No, I'll take the points again. This one, I will lay the points. I think the Giants are going to be an angry football team, and I don't have a lot of faith in the Jags on the road in this spot. I don't think they win a big game like that. I think the Giants will finally take care of the football. 29 turnovers.
The Jaguars are actually in first place in their division. That's unbelievable. When you think about Tennessee, Houston, and the Colts, you know, expectations for them. But
tells you what the
league's
like.
And the Seahawks are the first in their division.
Because the Jags are the same team. They're a crap average team, as they always are, but the other teams are more
crappy. More crappy.
Yeah.
Less average.
I will go with the Jaguars to cover but not win. Barry, what do you think?
You know, I'm going to pass on making picks since I'm unofficial, but I will give the listeners a little insight that I thought was kind of funny. Even with all the laptops and computers that are all over the place, Paul is manually recording everybody's pick on a notepad.
Oh, I'm not going to carry my computer.
Yeah, he's
down
a notepad
here
guy. He's
well, the computer's right here.
You could ask him who we picked 10 months ago,
see,
and he's got it in
if
there.
If the feds come, he can eat that, but with the electronics,
I'm just saying, if there's something at
frail.
Stake, someone might want to audit the results.
No, that's not our computer.
Yeah, this isn't ours anyway.
Oh, okay.
And I'm not going to carry a computer around
all right,
just
all right.
to record
okay,
the picks.
Justified, but I thought
but
it was
I can't show you the previous weeks.
And he conveniently wins.
Well, one spilled Pepsi on that, and, you know, all of a sudden things are
chaotic. Plus, Paul quite
hasn't
figured out how to use a laptop, so that's just true. Another problem.
But I'll pass on making picks. Thanks.
Fred hasn't figured out how to make picks, but
all right,
another story.
Sunday at 1, I'm having a bad season. What can I tell you?
Career.
Sunday at 1, Carolina at Cleveland.
Cleveland by 11.
Wow. Oh, wow. I'll take Cleveland to win, and I will take the points just because it's a lot of points. And I know Cleveland's playing better football right now, but I don't have confidence in them winning by 12.
I have them winning by 14, so I'll take the Browns to win and cover.
I'm going to take Cleveland and lay the points as well. I think they're still playing hard, and I'm not sure there's much to play for in Carolina. That's a mess. That's just an absolute mess. John Fox not going out in the blaze of glory.
No, no. And I think that's part of the big spread is he's giving up. So I'm going to take Cleveland both ways. Green Bay at Atlanta.
Thinking about taking Cleveland knockout. What do you think?
Sure. Yeah. I think that's a good one.
Yep.
Okay. Green Bay, Atlanta.
Green Bay.
What do we got? Green Bay by 2.5.
2.5.
Green Bay at Atlanta and favored, huh?
Let me make sure of that.
Atlanta's
favored. Atlanta's favored. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's a big deal.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, that's what I said. Yeah, that's what I wrote anyway. I think I might have said,
I think I might have said it
incorrectly. Atlanta by 2.5.
This is a good matchup. This is a very good matchup. I am just going to go. I'm going to be one of those lamos who said, I picked the Packers to go to the Super Bowl, so I'm going to go with the Packers. That's what I'm going to do here. Lame.
I will take Atlanta because they're the home team. That's the only reason. I think these are two very well-matched-up teams, both quarterbacks, good, efficient.
Good.
Make plays at the end, but I'll take the home team and to win and cover.
I am going to take the road team, Green Bay. I think they're a better football team. I do recognize that Matt Ryan streak. What's it like, 18-1 in his career?
18-1
at home. That's pretty impressive.
Nah.
But I think Green Bay comes out. I think they're a better team.
18-2 would still be.
I know
impressive.
A lot has changed since the Patriots practiced in the preseason with the Falcons, but this is a good tape game for them because they kind of know the Falcons a little bit. They got the Green Bay coming up, so I'm sure they'll be paying attention to what happens in this game. I'm going to go with Green Bay winning this one.
Who was the player that made a diving catch at your feet and he stood out to you?
Brian Finneran.
Finneran, yeah. Paul mocked me.
He made four other catches this year, too.
We both mocked you, and some listeners
did
as well.
Who's doing anything at practice? Guy just made a catch in front of me. I tell him Finneran, he makes fun of me. So I should make something up? Because he doesn't like the guy?
I think we asked you what was going on.
Yeah.
I don't think we said picking who's
up,
doing anything
picking
at practice.
Up the argument we left off with in August.
Right.
Okay, next game.
Pittsburgh at Buffalo.
It's a good one.
Pittsburgh
at
by
Buffalo.
Six. You say it's a good one. Why?
I was being sarcastic.
Okay.
It was kind of like when Aaron Hernandez was standing at the locker room door to the training room yelling, thanks, Jim. No, no, no. Thanks, Jim. I really appreciate it. No, thanks, Jim. I really appreciate it. And I'm thinking, that sounds sarcastic right there.
Who's he talking to?
Jim Whalen.
Whalen. Oh.
I'm going to take Pittsburgh to win and cover because they're the much better football team. And Ryan Fitzpatrick is Ryan Fitzpatrick. I don't care how well he's played of late. James Harrison will kill him because he doesn't drop into coverage against the Bills.
I'll take Pittsburgh as well.
Oh, really? Despite the quarterback?
You must have been really happy to see Seymour hit your favorite quarterback.
Yeah. I didn't shed a tear.
You have daughters. No, you don't, but, you know. The general.
He goes out with daughters.
No, he doesn't. That's just a joke and you don't get dates. Don't read it into anything
more
than that.
I know what it meant.
Are you taking the points or are you giving the points?
Six.
Six.
No, I'll take the Bills.
So he really is picking against Roethlisberger.
Yeah, I'll take Pittsburgh
taking
here.
Taking the Bills?
I don't think Pittsburgh.
Both ways?
No,
oh,
the points.
Oh, okay.
But that's good enough. I mean,
I don't think Pittsburgh is all that great either, but I think they're better than Buffalo, and I'll lay the points.
Me too. Tennessee at Houston. Tennessee at Houston.
Houston by 5.5.
Jeff Fisher either needs to get a new quarterback or a new job for 2011. That's the beginning of friends.
More at 11.
Around the NFL that I heard 25 times. I am going to go with.
Tough time this morning.
I heard.
I'm going to go with Houston.
I was there.
It's in Houston, right? You said?
Correct.
Yeah, I'll take the home team and more turmoil in Tennessee with the quarterback and all that and Rusty Smith and all that crap.
Yeah.
I hate Houston, but it feels like the safer pick.
I agree. I totally agree. You know, if it weren't for the quarterback situation in Tennessee.
Sure.
But, yeah, I'll go with Houston to win and cover.
Yeah, I think Houston's a better team. I know they're not playing
better. Yeah, I know they are.
But I would be taking them regardless of who's playing. But with Rusty Smith playing, I feel even better about it.
After last week's debacle where they just blew that game against the Jets, you think that they come out fired up.
So or they just say, who's our new coach going to be?
Right. So I'll go with Houston. Minnesota at Washington, the last 1 o'clock game. Minnesota at Washington.
Washington by 2.5.
Jeez.
I just had a veal parm sub. What do you want?
Really?
I mean, as the trend goes, are we supposed to pick the team that lost its coach? With the longtime assistant who's finally getting his chance to shine?
Just ignoring me.
I'm going with the Vikings. That's what I'm going to do. The players wanted a change. They got a change. Now they need to sack up and play for Leslie Frazier and get him the job. You wanted a change? Do it.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to happen on the road.
I don't know.
His first
sounded
game,
convincing, though,
so.
Didn't I?
Yeah, maybe. Not enough. I'll take Washington.
Plus, Washington stinks.
Yeah,
Vikings just suck even more.
The Vikings are a much better team than Washington, and I'm going to go with the talent here. And now they have their built-in excuses gone. So I agree with Andy. If Chili was still there, matter of fact, in the paper, I'm pretty sure I picked Washington because of the Childress factor. But I'll go with Minnesota.
I'm going to go with Washington just because Brett Favre is still with Minnesota. Kansas City at Seattle, 4:05 game. Kansas City at Seattle.
Kansas City favored by 1.
I'm going to take Kansas City. They're the better football team. I say they run the ball right down the Seahawks' throat. Not ready to meet the physical challenge, Pete Coe.
Yeah, I've been burned by the Chiefs all year on road games that they were supposed to win, but I'm going to fall in the trap.
You're
going to
get burned again.
Yeah, I'm going to get burned again. I'll take the Chiefs on the road.
Tough one.
This is a tough one. I'm going to take Kansas City because I do think they're a better team, but I don't – I mean, it's the reason why this, the spread is one. You know, you go out to Seattle, a team that's not used to winning road games and not really used to winning any games,
right.
But winning road games that they're quote-unquote supposed to win.
Might as well just make it a pick'em.
It's a tough spot. Yeah. Tough spot, but I don't think anything of Seattle. I think the only wins that Seattle gets are NFC West games.
Yeah, Kansas City. I got to go with Kansas City, even though I like Pete Carroll, but I just don't think – I think Kansas City's going to not make mistakes, and I think Seattle will. Miami at Oakland.
Ugh. Oakland by three.
Miami at Oakland.
I'll take Oakland to win and cover. Why not?
It's the mediocre bowl.
I have no interest in Miami with Tyler Thigpen at quarterback, and he's their quarterback, correct, Paul?
Yeah. I believe so.
Yeah. No other options to turn to? You know, he's their best quarterback. He has been all year. They finally inserted him. Now you lose with him in Oakland.
I agree. Oakland win and cover.
Yeah, I'm going to take Oakland. I'm not quite as confident as you guys are, but I think they bounce back after that bad performance in Pittsburgh. That was a bad game for them.
What's the spread again?
Three.
Yeah, I got to go with Oakland. I just, if Miami still had Henny or Pennington, I'd go with Miami, but it's just too much to overcome at this point. Let's see. Philadelphia at Chicago.
The Bears, wait a minute, I think I probably have that one wrong. Yeah, Philadelphia by 3.5.
I will take Philadelphia to win and cover. I just have this thing against picking Jay Cutler. Mike Vick, best player in the NFL when he plays. So I'll take the best player in the NFL when he plays.
This is probably the week that Philly falls flat, but I'm going to fall in the trap, and I'll take them to win and cover.
I'm going to definitely take Philly to win. I guess I'll lay the points. The half point I was intrigued. I was thinking about taking, but I won't. Eagles.
This is an interesting game. If the Chicago defense shows up, they can contain Vic. And I think they will. So I'm going to go with Chicago.
Wow.
St. Louis at Denver.
I hope you're right, Freddie.
St. Louis.
I'm a little tired of the Michael Vick nonsense the last couple of weeks.
I'm a little tired of the Bears thinking they're a good team.
He's played well. Michael Vick has played well, and I'm not taking that away from him, but let's pump the brakes a little bit.
Pump the brakes. I want to see this movie. Yogi Bear, this new CGI movie. It looks tremendously funny.
Okay. St. Louis at Denver.
Denver by 4.
Oh, damn it, I'm taking him. The Sam Chies. big road win. A debacle in Denver right now for Josh McDaniels.
I agree. The seat keeps getting hotter for Josh. And the Rams go on the road and get a good win.
Pat Bowlen dug this great
to stay in the playoff hunt to win that division.
Yeah, I'll take Denver here. Their offense is a better unit, different offense at home, and I think they put up too many points for the Sam Chies.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Denver as well, even though it would be nice to see St. Louis go in there and win.
I'll be rooting for St. Louis because I'm sharing the enthusiasm for Sam Bradford that Andy has.
Well, I'm just
and very
hoping
impressed.
Josh loses.
Oh, did you see his bad pick this weekend? Where he tried to lead a guy on a shovel pass.
Oh, God.
And
terrible.
He was trying to cut by.
What a terrible, terrible, terrible. That was big for me. I had Atlanta in knockout.
Tampa Bay at Baltimore. Tampa Bay
Baltimore by 7.5.
Ooh, Baltimore by 7.5 over a Bucks team that
is
keeps
Tampa Bay
close
for real?
And wins. This year, competition they need to beat, sure. Would they be doing that in the AFC if they were playing the Steelers and Colts and Chargers and Patriots every week? No, I don't think they would be, which is why they don't do it this week against the Baltimore Ravens. An AFC playoff contending type team beats them and covers.
This is, as Andy suggested, a true test for the Bucs. I don't think they're going to pass it. Baltimore's the better team. They're at home. I'll take them to win. But you know what? I'll take the points. I think Tampa will keep it close enough.
Yeah, I am going to do the same thing. I'll take that half point and run with it. I think the Ravens will win the game, but I don't like laying more than a score with the Ravens.
Me too. I agree with Paul and Eric.
I love when you have analysis and then the next one. Me too.
Well, you know, what else are you going to say? I don't want to waste people's time.
You could come up with something. Anything.
Like this week he could have said that the same formula for Tampa Bay could continue where they're close and they try the comeback, but maybe this time Freeman, a young quarterback against Ed
Why
Reed,
did you say
throws
that
the pick.
Big head?
I am. And that turns into the
San
cover
Diego
for the
at Indianapolis.
San Diego. This is
Colts
the night
three.
Game. 8:20 game on Sunday night.
There are a lot of good games this week,
the
actually.
The most dangerous team in football, the San Diego Chargers, starting to feel it.
I mean, Philadelphia, Chicago, Green Bay, Atlanta, San Diego, Indy. There's some
that
good games
game
on,
we skipped.
Well, I'm telling
some
you,
good games on Saturday,
December's
going to
be outrageous. If Dad's out raking leaves, go get him. This
did you do that one on your first
be
take?
A dandy.
How many takes did that take? Is that a lot of takes for
no,
that?
That
one?
Wasn't. That was easy.
So what tripped you up this week? What word was it? What phrase was
I've been
it?
Off all day, really.
You were off full in that sense.
No, I mean, you know, from that to the show with the audio problems, you know.
That was your fault?
It bothers me when you got 10 minutes into the show and people can't hear what you're saying.
Bothers me too. Makes us a little bit of a laughing stock.
And Kevin, it's not your fault. I know.
No, but they could hear you. It just sounded
funny. It sounded like crap. It's distracting. Yes. It's distracting to the listeners and it's distracting to me because I'm worried about the listeners. You know?
Well said.
So,
what's the game? San Diego at
San Diego
Indy.
At Indy. Colts by 3.
See, I get distracted again.
Go f*** yourself, San Diego.
I actually think the Colts are going to go into Indy and beat the...
The Chargers, you mean?
I mean, the Chargers are going to go into Indy and beat the Colts. I think they're feeling good. I think they're starting to make plays. Vincent Jackson this week?
I believe he's back this week,
Vincent Jackson. And the Colts are just so banged up. They are ill-equipped, I think, to win against good teams. And I think the Chargers are starting to be a good team.
I agree. This is the time of year that the Bolts come alive, usually, anyway. And historically, they've played well in Indianapolis. I think that continues, and I think the Colts are a little demoralized over what happened this past week, a game that they thought they might have had at the end there, and the hangover continues. Chargers win on the road. Yeah, I'm going to take the Chargers, too. Too many injuries in Indy to beat a good team, I think. I think it caught up with them last week. It's going to catch up with them again.
Did you see the Chargers even tried a fake punt last night?
It worked, right?
Yeah.
Kept that drive alive.
Yeah. I saw the highlights as we were
talking. So they're starting to get a little momentum here.
Did you see when Josh tried to do the throwback play to the quarterback?
Yeah.
It was a sack. Then they tried a throwback play that led to a much longer sack.
Right.
You must have been cheering that.
Oh, well.
Smarty pants. Boy genius.
Well, that's Charlie. That's not.
What?
Oh, no.
Charlie's
Kansas City.
See, I'm off.
You're distracted.
Who is their offense? Is he the offensive coordinator?
He calls the plays. I don't know if he's the offense. No, they have a coordinator, but he calls the plays. Who's our offensive coordinator?
Who'd you take in the
game?
How
come they don't say he's spread too thin?
Because he's not doing both. He has coordinators in a titular sense.
Let's see. I'm going to take San Diego.
Okay.
So we're all on the Chargers.
All right. Finally, well, not finally, but before we get to the Patriots that we skipped over from Thursday.
Nobody says more wasted words.
Monday night.
He doesn't want to waste people's time with analysis of the pick.
Monday night, San Francisco at Arizona. This is a great one for Monday night.
Dad's out raking the leaves.
Tell him to keep raking. Tell him to come to my house.
Do the neighbor's yard.
In the front.
I'll get you a spotlight. Stay out all night. What's the spread?
Niners by one.
Oh, I'll take the Niners. Geez. I'm with Fred. No analysis needed.
It's in San Francisco?
No, it's in Arizona.
I hate Arizona.
Yeah, I'll still pick the Niners. Yeah, I'll take the Niners here. Just they're better.
I'll go with my best player on the field theory. That's Frank Gore. Michael Crabtree might be in that mix. The best, Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah, but he probably doesn't want to play anymore.
I'll go Frank Gore.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Arizona just because.
Trying to make
you need
up
to
games.
Make up ground. Yeah.
No, because I want to see Singletary blow up physically.
All right,
just explode,
combust.
Yeah,
spontaneously.
All right, now we
That's
go back
seven.
In time to Thursday at 12:30, and it's good as 12:30 start. Gives us
sure,
an extra half hour.
I'm really psyched about that.
New England.
That makes up for all the downside to it.
Makes up for the half
miss
hour.
Miss
Thanksgiving, but if the game starts a half hour early.
And by the long. Way, in your edit letter, you write, and I'm going to be home to have dinner with my family in time.
No, I didn't.
You did.
I said before the day is out, which could be at midnight.
But there was a sentence, there was some reference to your family. If they don't want to, I'll eat alone.
Right.
They're not going to want to at midnight.
No, I said if they don't want a second dinner, I'll.
At midnight.
Right. Oh, you're not going to raid the fridge when you get home?
I'm not going to have a fridge. My wife is boycotting. She's doing Chinese food.
Oh, that's good.
Well, by the way, so I probably will raid the fridge. Have some chicken fingers, some crab rangoon.
I won't be raiding the fridge. At midnight? When you get home, you eat?
That's why it's called a midnight snack. Wow. That's why he looks like that.
Well, but I look like that, too. I don't.
Shut the hell up, Collins.
I will take the New England. What's the spread?
Seven.
Ooh.
Lions do keep it close. 5 losses by 7 points or less, so that's a big number. I will take the Patriots to win and cover. I think they are the better football team, obviously. But I also, generally when a team has a couple major weapons, and I would put Calvin Johnson in that mix, Bill takes him away. He finds a way. So whether it's Arrington matched up with some safety help, whatever, I think they take Johnson away. They'll do good enough against the other guys. They'll give up yards and points, but not enough yards and not enough points.
Patriots are the better team, clearly. They're coming off a big win against Indy. They have their next big game against the Jets the following week. This is a short week of prep. The Lions do keep it close. It's going to be an ugly game. Expect an ugly game, folks. 16-13, Patriots win. So I'll take the Pats to win, the Lions to cover.
Wrong.
I understand Eric's analysis. I think it makes a lot of sense. I just think without their quarterback playing, I don't see how the Lions are able to put enough points up to keep up with the Patriots offense. And I absolutely cannot see the Lions defense holding the Patriots to 16. So I will lay the points, 31-17 win.
I'm one touchdown and three field and yeah.
I'm agreeing with Paul. Patriots cover. Lions just don't have enough. The only way they win this game is if somehow their defense rises to the occasion. But
big plays. That's how they win. Yeah. Turnovers, interceptions, Sue with a sack, a strip sack that all of a sudden is
a field goal, maybe. Whatever.
I got to go with the Patriots in this game both ways. There's surprise, a shock. Surprise.
But he said he's picking the Jets next week, so tune in next week.
I never said that. Where did you come up with that?
From you. I thought you said you were taking the Jets.
No. All right, so that's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress. Stay tuned for Playbook.
So, Freddie.
Pete Shepard at 4.
No Playbook.
No playbook. And Brian Lowe at 3.
At 3.
You're going to have to replay.
What's going on at 2?
Can we rewind that?
We're going to replay this a little bit?
And we're going to shoot the PFW.
All right, so
TV
come
show.
Back at 3 for B-Lo.
And listen to all that you missed in the first hour, which you missed.
Right, and then
no
Pete
audio.
Shepard at 4. And then tomorrow, a special edition of Pete Shepard at noon, live. All right, thanks to everybody. Have a great Thanksgiving. We'll talk to you next week. Of course, big game coming up on Thursday. Barry from the Orange County, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Orange County.
Register.
And we'll be back next week. See you later.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.